Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide. Thank you so much for joining us already Thursday, the 23rd day of January 2014. Hard to believe that. And I am a bit under the weather today. My allergies have gotten a lot better over the years, drinking more water and taking supplements. But all this wind blowing in, I'm extremely hammered by it. But I will engage in the transmission nonetheless. But I'm a little bit dingy, as they say. But when I remembered that I had Bob Barr on, in fact, I came into the office to go on the Howard Stern network this morning via ISDN line, and I was going to do a rebroadcast or have David Knight sit in. And then I remembered that we had former Congressman Bob Barr on with a lot of TSA, NSA, Obama dictatorship news and information. And when I also have a professor on who's breaking down the parallels of the First World War, the economic conditions and different power blocks involved. And, of course, it's not just this historian, but many other historians say that things are lining up for World War III and global depression and things like that. We're not trying to fearmonger here. I'm trying to get attention to this so that we can avert it, because I like stability and I like peace and I don't like depressions and war. And you see Homeland Security gearing up for that like a chicken with its head cut off running around in all directions. So her report was in the London Independent and other newspapers. Is it 1914 all over again? We are in danger of repeating the mistakes that started World War I, says a leading historian. And when you realize that British intelligence was involved in the assassination of the Archduke of the Austrian Empire, is it the Austrian-Hungarian Empire? Yeah, Franz Ferdinand. More of a rhetorical question. My mother, you know, is a history major, and she always calls me when I butcher names and things. Whatever. The point is if you look at the Black Hand, a, quote, anarchist group, connections to British intelligence, shooting and hand grenading Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria, who died June 28th, 1914, was the Archduke of Austria and Hungarian Royal Prince of Hungary and Bohemia, and from 1889 until his death, the heir presumed to the Austrian-Hungarian throne. His assassination in Sarajevo participated and precipitated the Austrian-Hungarian's declaration of war against Serbia. This caused the Central Powers, including Germany and Austria-Hungary, and the allies of World War I, countries allied with Serbia and Serbia's allies, to declare war on each other, starting World War I. And the globalists are funding Al-Qaeda to attack the Russians trying to start World War III. Just there. It's just really, really a nice thing they're doing. I have to tell you. But you guys print me that info just so I have it in front of me. Thank you. But that's the kind of happy stuff we're going to be discussing here today. You know what? Let's talk about Justin Bieber a little bit here. He looks like he's wearing a fully loaded diaper with the pants I've been seeing him wear the last few years. And he's always driving around in a new Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever. And I'm obsessed with him, actually, quite frankly. A man wandering around disheveled, looking like he's been crapping his pants for 10 days, is just incredibly exciting to me. And so we're going to talk about why Justin Bieber doesn't change his diapers when we come back after this quick break. And then we're going to examine the contents of his diapers here today. And that's basically what the media coverage of it is. I'm not knocking the media covering. In fact, I think it's important, actually, to examine how the media spectacle works on the verge of global collapse and World War III. We are focusing in on a spoiled brat, moron, twit, and the police giving him escorts to topless bars. This is so vital. This is so vital.
The Alex Jones Show. Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
And it's called Agenda 21, where you're absolutely dependent on the system and can only get your sustenance from the company store. And, of course, everything's rigged and the prices are rigged so that you never get out of debt and stay an indentured servant forever. It's called feudalism, and in the modern context, it's called Agenda 21. You know, there's so much to cover here up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Al-Qaeda, the best enemy money can buy, by Paul Joseph Watson. I had him do that boil-down article because I was on the Howard Stern network today talking about the fact that the West is funding Al-Qaeda. Very exciting to be able to get that type of news out to an audience that generally would not be exposed to that info. And this information is so zeitgeist mainstream now that I was able to get it out and very appreciative to be able to cover that on the Lieberman News Hour. So very, very important information there. Continuing, Al-Qaeda, the best enemy money can buy. I'm going to go over some of that. Davos, globalists have basically kicked the Ukrainian prime minister to the curb as violence rages in Kiev. So he has been snubbed now or canceled. Continuing, Major League Baseball prepares new DHS screening measures at all ballparks, but the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, is allowed to come into the country and fly all around the nation without screening because they're actually listed as a terror group and funding Al-Qaeda. But it's okay, though, and they call for killing U.S. troops all over the Middle East. But that they're not a threat. Your child is, because Bin Laden, again, might be hiding in their trousers or in your wife's brassiere. Harvard professor warns of devastating China Japan war. We're going to be breaking down that very important article and tying it into the professor that's joining us, saying that there's serious parallels to the start of other world wars right now. And of course, that's what pretty much all professors of history are saying, of a more modern history and 20th century history, are saying: red level crisis, red level. But again, ladies and gentlemen, right now the media is focused in on Justin Bieber's, well, not his diaper pants, which we have a photo of. If you just search the term Justin Bieber diaper pants. The news is his DWI, and you can go up to places like drudgereport.com and see his Disney photo-style mugshot. And, I mean, he's smoking weed all day, charged with resisting arrest. What the bleep are you doing? Because he reportedly paid off the police to be his escort around Miami, had police escort to strip club. But the good news is that Gallup poll reports 2/3 say federal government too big, too powerful. And, of course, they know you know that, so they're gearing up with Homeland Security to crush anybody that tries to stop their criminal takeover. Obama wants debt ceiling increased again in February. And remember, he said increasing the debt does not increase the debt. You can keep your doctor and there will be no attempts to restrict any guns, not your handgun, not your rifle, not your shotgun. That's a firm pledge. That's very funny, actually. We're going to be breaking down a lot of other information. Also, IRS, the New York Times reports on it, is targeting conservative group in Hollywood. And this is a very, very important article because when you go over it, I have been given unique perspectives into Hollywood that I don't think really most talk show hosts would ever have. In fact, I don't know of any talk show host on radio who actually, for whatever reason, have fallen into Hollywood in the entertainment industry the way I have. I never tried to go Hollywood. I never went Hollywood. But I have seen it from a bunch of different angles, whether it's Gary Busey or Charlie Sheen or Keanu Reeves or Woody Harrelson, the list goes on and on. Who's the Iron Man guy? I know him pretty good, but I remember his name. Robert Downey Jr., Winona Ryder. And those are people I can say their names. Yeah, I woke up Bruce Willis, but he's not really on record about that. But people could ask him if you want sometime. The point is that you name it, they are listening to this show. They're not liberals. They're not conservatives. They are libertarian conspiracy theorists that question the official lie of the Matrix. Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, I could just keep going on and on, the people that I personally know or know people that know. But then you get people like Sean Penn. I mean, take Mike Judge. He's a listener. And I'm not bragging. It's just show the influence of what you can do. And you never know how you're influencing people. He said some of this on air, but even more off air, because it is an incredible revelation, that the King of the Hill characters, I'm a large part, a composite of. Part of me is in Dale Gribble and in Hank Hill, because he formulated King of the Hill watching Access Television and watching my show and other shows. Nobody knows really who he is, but he's a local libertarian talk show host, Jeff Davis. Jeff Davis is probably more King of the Hill than me. I mean, literally. No one knows who Jeff Davis is. I'm just telling you right now, that's where this comes from. And again, I'm telling you, you don't think you have power going and doing an Access TV show? You don't think you don't have power doing a local radio show? You don't think you're not affecting change? I was on the air in 95, 96, 97, and Mike Judge, who already had Beavis and Butthead and all these other hit movies and TV shows, was watching, and literally out of that culture and other composites, you got King of the Hill. And there's all the inside baseball on that as well. Every show he's ever had becomes basically a number one hit. And obviously, I'm not going to say, you read these articles about pressure in Hollywood against libertarians or conservatives or people that are outside the, quote, socialist, communist, Democratic Party line. That's what's in this New York Times article, is that there's basically a secret 1,500-member right-wing libertarian group. They're really libertarians. I mean, look how Tom Selleck's career was basically axed when he was a top TV, top movie guy, just because he was pro-gun. I mean, these people sacrifice a lot. I know major illustrators and people that got a lot of their business cut just because they started criticizing Obama, even though they've been critical of Bush. In fact, I know a bunch of famous illustrators across the country who've told me, you know, off air and on air of what they went through just because they wanted to have their free speech. This is authoritarianism. And if the FBI was demonized for targeting real communists in the 50s and creating a blacklist, which is debatable in my view because of what a serious threat these people were, and they're romanticized by George Clooney and the rest of them. Meanwhile, they are running around literally trying to arrest and persecute and shut down pro-life groups, gun groups, Tea Party groups, listing us as terrorists. James Woods has said, because he's gone public, that he'll never work again. But he doesn't care. He's a guy that could have hit TV show after hit TV show. You know how much somebody like James Woods makes an episode on TV? $500,000 to $1 million for 2 days of work. And he gave it all up, folks, just to be able to criticize tyranny, just to be able to promote the Second Amendment, just to have his free speech. That's what you need to understand, is the reign of terror going on in Hollywood. And I mean, everybody I talk to is like, no, there's a mafia with all the big producers and then their little coterie of minions. And then if you're not part of that, the George Clooney, Matt Damon, Sean Penn, usual suspects, you've got to literally hang out with them, kiss their butts, and give money to the Democrats, even if you're really a libertarian or conservative, or your shows don't get made, you don't get put on air, you don't get promoted. And then you've got to sit there with a team of writers, even if you're the creator of a show or whatever, and have them basically twist it and add their propaganda and their agenda into it, or you don't get on television. I mean, that's the big story about Hollywood entertainment that is exported worldwide and is this stinking cesspool cancer. Mark Cuban. I mean, this came out in the New York Times. I talked about it on air. I couldn't tell the whole story because I was told not to, and I honor my word, until it came out in the New York Times. But, I mean, I've been there in the phone calls. When Mark Cuban was going to put out a film I was producing on 9/11 being a staged inside job, on over 1,000 screens. He was going to, you know, pay at first to, you know, get it out there. It takes a lot of money to get it distributed, and was going to then sell DVDs and Blu-ray of it. And it wasn't about the money for somebody like him. He wanted that message to get out, but he also wanted to, you know, make money on top of it. That's how you keep funding your operation. And literally the White House called him. This is Republicans doing this, along with the rest of Hollywood, and saying, we're going to put you in jail if you make that. And he just said, I'm sorry, I can't do this now. They're going to put me in, you know, they're going to try to set me up for stock stuff that I haven't even done. It's some $800,000 trade of a guy worth billions of dollars. And I'm not going to do it. And they still tried to put him in prison. You understand that, ladies and gentlemen? You understand how evil this system is? SEC persecutes Mark Cuban for relationship with loose change. Kurt Nemo, 2008. And then it later again came out in the New York Times that indeed that went on. So just to be fair, this can happen from the Republicans as well, but very rarely that I've seen it. Well, I mean, here's Lionel Chetwin threatened me in a bathroom when he was the head of President Bush's media commission. And they didn't ever try to bring any true patriot messages to TV. The Republicans are like a placeholder for the Democrats to people supposed to think there's an opposition. But just in the you know, just to be fair and bring up other subjects, you know, show it's not just the Democrats, though they're about 90% of it. Chetwin came up and said, "We're going to get you. We're going to take you out." And luckily, one of the assistants walked in to get us when I was going on this TV show with him, and heard it. Because he had his lawyers threaten me. And I said, let's go to court, buddy. I got witnesses. Let's go. You know, you came in there and did that. But, I mean, I'm just telling you, folks, that's how the real world works, okay? So stop being naive. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Hank Hill. And I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
CNN lays off more than 40 journalists, demo death spiral. That's all planned, folks. They're just destroying the news that they got to shell out from its conception. And now mission complete. Country broken, world government going into place. Now they've just got to mop up what's left of individual liberty and states' rights, bankrupt you and your family so you're properly under their control. By the way, I should talk more about Hollywood. I should make films about this. I should do more reports about it because it is literally a mass mental illness out there where so many people really believe they're not going to live and not be successful until they are embraced by Hollywood as a cinematographer, as a writer, as an actor or an actress. And you sit there and you explain to people, listen, I've been to the top of the mountain. I've seen what's there. Unbelievable. Again, 80% of what I've seen is off record. I can't even tell you. But I've been to the big parties. I've seen it. These people are literally in living hell. There's a reason they all moved to Austin, Texas, or they all moved to Wyoming. There's a reason Robert Plant lives, you know, down off Congress in Austin, Texas. I'm not going to say where. I cannot believe where he lives. It is unbelievable. It's the strangest thing. You wouldn't believe it. Anyways, the whole point is, I've got to tell you guys off. Well, I shouldn't even tell you. Anyway, I just couldn't believe it. Anyways, the point is that I'm not sitting here talking about all this to impress people. I'm talking about it because we've won, folks. The mainline conservatives are waking up to the fact that it's all a artificial, plastic, synthetic BS machine. And the Democrats are waking up that the Democratic Party and all that fake liberalism is not liberalism. They're discovering Thomas Jefferson. They're discovering Magna Carta. They're discovering individual liberty. I mean, the fires are really getting lit here. The brush fires in the minds of humans. And that's my mission, is to ignite human liberty. And you can judge a tree by its fruits. Notice how I'm under unmitigated attack from all angles. I love it. It means, just like when my grandfather was flying out of North Africa over Italy, they would fly into the flak clouds to bomb the industrial centers because they had to take out that military capacity and they would fly into the flak. That means when I'm taking attacks, if I'm not being attacked, I'm not doing my job. If I need to go into the enemy, I need to attack the enemy in a frontal assault to break people out of their trance, and that's what you need to do. And so when I tell you all this Hollywood stuff that I hardly ever even get into, I do it because I see an article about a 1,500 secret member conservative group, which, by the way, I've had multiple overtures to join this group. Would you like to join a secret conservative libertarian secret society with reporters and Hollywood people? And I'm like, no, I don't want to be part of any secret group. Because then I will be tarred with whatever the members of the secret group do by being part of some secret group. But the fact is that you've got to like underground Christians or something in Rome. It's in the New York Times today. That's why I'm getting into all this. You have 1,500 secret group now with the IRS basically coming after them and not letting them be tax exempt as they try to, you know, come out of the closet. I mean, where is the tolerance in this country that conservatives and libertarians in Hollywood cannot come out of the closet? I'll tell you why they can't come out of the closet, folks, because they're the majority. I've been there. I've seen it. Unless you're talking about Sean Penn or Josh Brolin, and I'm not trying to be mean. It's like I've met these people, known them, talked to them on the phone, and then you run into them again, and they just treat you like you don't even exist, and that's not why I dislike them. It's because I know people that know them really good, and everybody talks about how intellectual and how smart they are, and they're not that smart. And they know, though, this is what you do to be successful in Hollywood. Yeah, it's like Alec Baldwin constantly saying, kill this conservative, kill this libertarian, kill this person's children, and they don't get in trouble. If I said, kill someone's children, go to his house, kill their children, you know, he said that repeatedly about members of Congress, go to their house, kill their wife and children. That's a call to action, folks. If I said on air, go to somebody's house, kill their children, somebody probably would do it. That's not free speech. That's calling for murder. That's calling, you know, for saying, go attack the Capitol, hypothetically. I'm not saying that. They'll probably cut it out of context, Rachel Maddow, and do that. The whole point is, Alex said, attack the Capitol. No, I didn't, you witch. I didn't say giant wasp live under the UN building. I didn't say Obama sent that tornado, you lying freak. That's why you don't have any viewers, witch. You and Janet Reno ought to clone yourselves. Guess you already did. Anyways, the point is I'm going to finish this when we come back and get into all the geopolitical news. There's so much coming up. We've got former Congressman Bob Barr on the NSA, TSA, and breaking intel on that front. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
If you are listening to this transmission, if you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Hard to turn that beat down, isn't it? Crank it up. Revolutions in their mind. The children start to march. That's war drums. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., ladies and gentlemen, we're here live. Thank you for joining us. And then don't forget, we're back weeknights, 7 o'clock Central, with InfoWars Nightly News, Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And the reason we came in with that song, ladies and gentlemen, is there is a revolution happening, a revolution of tyranny, a revolution of evil and hate, but also a revolution of good. At the same time, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. As I love to quote, because it's so true to understand this. evil is not the only power in the universe. And its great power is convincing good that good has no power. And really, that's the huge thought beyond an epiphany, because I already knew it. It's a great discovered truth that has not been promoted, that's not been talked about, because for most people, Hollywood, entertainment, what sets the cultural mores, what dominates the thought process, I mean, that is the essence of a culture. And it is a weaponized, criminally directed mafia. I mean, you think you've seen The Sopranos, folks. You ought to actually be in these Hollywood meetings with these top lawyers and owners and producers. I mean, these guys are literally beyond the Godfather. All of them. Big, old, mean men smoking cigarettes and cigars when they're like 80 years old, going, and literally, if you don't start like yelling back at them and telling them, you know, I've sat there and like said, hey, a Texas San, you know, be careful, drive safe. The guy went, are you threatening me? And he was just totally freaked out. And I was like, no, I'm really serious. And they're like, well, maybe we'll do that deal. Just don't threaten me. And, you know, paranoid, out of their minds. Because everyone else just grovels to them. And all these women out there, particularly, and men, who really think if they could ever get to Hollywood, it's like a bug zapper for women. And they just fly in, me, and it's like, bzz, 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 bzz. You know, turning them into hookers, turning them into prostitutes, turning them into, you know, just a system to literally suck this country dry and then export that evil worldwide. And I am investigating it more and more and realizing how this spiritual sickness is being deployed against humanity. They make a documentary about it. I really am intrigued by the mind control machine. Not just the messages that are in it, but how they control the stable of actors, writers, directors, and then how they deploy that. And then how weak it is once you're aware of it and what a fraud it is. And then you see George Clooney for what he is. Not a liberal, but a person selling Obamacare and open borders and disarming the American people when he has bodyguards. Consciously knowing that they're part of a criminal authoritarian takeover and are propaganda officers who willingly embrace it. You know, it's one thing for a lot of the Hollywood stars to just keep their mouth shut or quietly try to do things for liberty. I mean, take Billy Corrigan, you know, 40, 50 million records sold, international star, documentaries, films, whole nine yards. Do you know how much courage it takes for him? Like, I need to call him up. We exchange texts sometimes, talk every once in a while. For him to have come on my show those times and to speak out against the government and to speak out about Obama being a fraud and not saying Republicans are good. He was saying the whole thing's a fraud. I mean, do you understand what happens when people do stuff like that? Do you know? That's why I don't admire Billy Corrigan, even though I'm a fan of a lot of his music, because he's just some famous guy. He's a really nice person. He's a really deep person. He's a really smart person. He's a very genteel person, and he sees past my ogre-likeness and understands that I love beauty and love goodness and love life and creation, and so we resonate on that level. But, I mean, do you know what the type of heat people get just to come on a show that the establishment doesn't want and talk about the weather? They don't like that. That's what the talking points of the White House, the secret of White House, directed into Media Matters every week with weekly meetings as their front. Sure, the site has no visitors, but it's a talking point memo from the White House to see what they think, to see what they say, to see who they don't like. And when you look at things like Media Matters and groups like that, they're there telling Republicans what they can and can't think, and oh my gosh, Rand Paul, don't promote him. Oh, Ted Cruz, he's a loser, he's a failure when he's exploding and totally successful by challenging the fraud, by calling it out. So they're trying to set reality. They're trying to dictate reality. They are trying to literally create walls in our minds like we're children and telling us Santa Claus is real. that Obamacare cuts your prices down to a phone bill. You can keep your doctor. And I mean, just as they shut down our power plants, as they ship our jobs overseas, cold-bloodedly parading around, oh, that's the high and mighty Obama, the man that loves us. That's the high and mighty Obama, the guy that cares about the children. It's all just a joke. Do you understand how evil Michael Moore is and how evil George Clooney is? Do you realize how fraudulent they are as they do this great evil and then tell us they're high and mighty and they have the moral authority and we've got to do what they say? That is the ultimate form of slavery, as they race pimp and create division and try to turn women against men as if men are a bad thing and it's the fault of men that women aren't empowered, so that women are entitled and at war with men and their children instead of at war against the outside elements that are trying to bring down the family. And then men are these arrested development little boys watching simulated combat all day on television and playing video games all day. And so, of course, the women detest it. They want men. They want red-blooded men with guts and big hearts and who are leaders. Of course, women don't even know what they want because no one ever told them. No one ever showed them real role models. From day one, everything's just screw up children, so they have screwed up lives. You think about evil, folks. You think about jacking with the hard wiring of a beautiful species. Bunch of filth, bunch of garbage, bunch of trash enemies. And I see you, you little chicken-necked enemies. Your spirits are about a centimeter high. Your shadow's taller than your soul. And as you go on down that road, you know where you're going. Shadow's taller than your soul. You understand that? You know what that means, don't you? Because I see you, and you need to know that judgment is coming down on all of you. You think you're going to commit these crimes against humanity and not be brought low and not be cut down? You're already cut down. It's why you're so miserable. It's why you're so weak. And it's why you're spiritually shuttered and blind. And the darkness just gets darker and colder by the minute. Because the truth is about hell, it's not hot, it's cold. And you know that coldness now, don't you? You know of what I speak. You know the dark flame you worship. You know you kneel at the altar of death. Because you're afraid of it. You're cowards from the beginning. So you joined with the evil, believing that it would give you power and give you knowledge. All it did was give you knowledge of evil. You think you're masters of evil? You are slaves of evil. Now, a lot of news, obviously, to cover here today. Let me just try to read some of these headlines. It's this: the dam is breaking, and that's why they're going to start wars and implode the economy and do everything else, because Hollywood is falling, Los Angeles is falling. On record, the mayor has declared an emergency. And the mass hypnotism, the mass imprinting. If you're there when baby ducks are born, my dad was. I forget the whole story. I think one of the wild ducks got run over in the road, flew into something. I forget. My dad had these duck eggs, tells the story. And so when they hatched out, the ducks thought that he was their mama. They imprinted on them. And then generations of, I think they were whispering ducks, they said, until there were hundreds of them. And then they actually loaded them up and shipped them off to a big lake nearby. But then the ducks, some of them actually came back. The ducks would follow my dad around. And then the parents taught them that he was the leader of the ducks. And then finally there was like 100 of them or something. It was duck crap everywhere. They had to get rid of the ducks. They didn't kill them, though. But they shipped him to a nearby lake. But see, that's okay if a duck imprints on a nice person. Our women, especially, are imprinting on television and those messages. They are imprinting on the state as their father. They are imprinting on their father as an enemy. The media is selling them that directive. And so they're literally being led like moths. They're literally being led like moths to the flame, to the bug zapper. And you cannot get these people out of their trances. I mean, I've tried. And it's just like, no, if I could just be an actress, if I could just be a singer, if I could just be a rock star, if I could just be a... And the con games and all the little sub-acting schools and music schools and all of this. If you want music for the love of it, that's great. Or if you want to, you know, be an actor because you really are into it, go do it at the local theater and enjoy it and have passion. And then you might be successful, actually. But everyone just trying to be successful, that's why you're not successful. And there's limited slots in the Hollywood system and in the news system. There's dwindling spots. Look at CNN just laid off 40 more journalists or propagandists. And so people scrabble looking for fulfillment. You're not going to get it from Madison Avenue spin machines. You're not going to get it from that culture of death. And then I tell these people that are trying to break into the media or trying to break into entertainment, I go, listen, go out and do your own YouTube show. Go out and do your own local podcast. Go out and be passionate. Put the information out. And if you really are doing it for the right reason, you will become somewhat successful, maybe incredibly successful. And my gut has always been try to promote that idea to get more people involved in media. And then so many people, in fact, I would say, I don't know, maybe 70% of protégés and people that I've launched and helped then get into the Cass Sunstein model of cognitive infiltration, not consciously, but then because they're not instantly super successful or aren't as successful as I am, they believe in some primitive thing like the head chimpanzee. You know, they want to bash its brains out, so they'll be the head chimpanzee sitting up on the rock with the female chimpanzees picking, you know, mites and ticks off of you. That's not how the universe works and not how this world system works. It's you build systems. The pie is unlimited. You don't tear something down to become successful. But I just see how dumb and addled and uninformed people are. Because the world's taught them and their parents have taught them, because we're multi-generations into television culture, betrayal is how you have power. They've taught them selling someone out is how you get power, lying about someone and saying they're immoral and they're not good and they're not upstanding, because then that makes you feel better about yourself. This is all part of this sick, artificial culture. But... I mean, people, the only way to be successful now is, and people figured this out, is to go out and create your own films and then put them out for free. If you build it, they will come. But see, someone won't really do that who just has a compulsion, like an imprinting, that they need to be a movie star. They need to be a rock star. They need to be a hip hop star. They need to. And then they just sit there and get and work into a system that's designed to cheat them, even if they have talent, and designed to destroy them. And it's one in a million they would ever have success. And even having the success, there's no success in it because it's a fraudulent, evil, dark system. In the gathering darkness, even if you want to be a good person, almost anything you do now will get twisted to evil. You will certainly not be able to do good in a massive system like that. You can only do good in a system like that, hijacking it, getting into it to sabotage it. And if you actually fight the system, that's the quickest way to be introduced into it, because they want to co-opt you. But again, the fools out there don't even know that. They think selling out to it is the way to be empowered. And so it is mass mental illness. People don't dream of being a father or a mother or a great farmer or a great painter because they love painting now. It's because they're going to have value. They're going to be somebody. They're going to be successful. They're going to be fulfilled. They're looking for something when all you got to do is look into your heart and look up at the stars and look into a river and look into the trees and look at a little bird outside your window. And its fulfillment is right there. And then if you're fulfilled, people will recognize that, and then you will gain power. But see, once you're fulfilled, you won't even want the power anymore. But you will then get the power. The power to be a good father, the power to be a good mother. And none of us are perfect, and none of us have all the answers. I'm just simply trying to explain to you that the establishment is not going to help you and does not want to help you. The system is evil and wants to sabotage you and hurt you, because if you're a free, empowered, healthy person, you won't conform to the system they're creating. Fundamentally, the system will not empower you. Fundamentally, the system will destroy you. Fundamentally, it's designed to. And I don't mean to just get up here and preach today, but I tend to, when I'm real tired, to, you know, just kind of go off into these tangents. But we got several big guests up coming up. Former Congressman Bob Barr on the NSA, TSA, latest on Obama becoming a unitary executive. That's a fancy term for dictator. And where all of that is going. And a board declares NSA data suite illegal. Well, of course, and says it has no basis in law. No, tyranny doesn't have a basis in law. It has a basis in force and fraud. So that's coming up as well. But the news here is, in America, conservatives and libertarians have to be in a secret society in Hollywood, or they'll be hunted down and bankrupted. But we're this close to the Hollywood system falling and a true renaissance of American culture. And if we do that, we win. It's big.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse.
It's a military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town.
And don't be alarmed if you see those over the next 7 days rolling through your neighborhood.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough. 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 Enough.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
And as KSLA News 12's Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem. Us.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
Black Hawk choppers soaring through the night sky, but this is only a drill.
Heavily armed officers in Watertown search for the suspect, house to house.
It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
In your apartment!
I am in my apartment, sir.
Go back inside right now!
I am inside.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
The dramatic scene played out in front of our cameras. Parents grabbing their children and running after spending the night hunkering in their houses and then finding themselves face to face with the muzzle of a SWAT officer's rifle.
They let them in the area. They told them they could come in, and now they're coming in like they're trespassers, punching and shoving people.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
On the march, the Empire is on the run. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Revolution in their mind, yeah. Two things start to fall. Oh, it's the world that makes them have to live. All the pain that's in their heart.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
This is the heart of 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Thank you for joining us. I love playing that at least once a week because that really is just a snapshot of the off-the-chart tyranny we're dealing with in this society. We do have a professor coming on to deal with the parallels that are taking place and going on in the world to other world wars that have started. And there's not an analyst out there that doesn't say we're on the verge of catastrophe. And my goal in bringing that up is to try to not have it repeat history again. But there are parasitic globalists that will use these calamities to bring in total control. And they do this every time they're about to lose control. And the British Empire helped start World War I and World War II. And I'm not saying Hitler was good, obviously. I'm stating history that if you study it, they helped create the climate, even helped fund the Nazis early on. The King of England didn't advocate over a woman he wanted to marry. He was a Nazi. And Heil Hitler, you can look it up, and it was actually in Germany when World War II started, had to flee out of Spain back to England. I mean, that's what it's all about. And British intelligence started all of it. All of it. And the same model is about to start World War III right now. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Professor Margaret McMillan's going to be joining us, breaking down the parallels to World War I, the start of World War I that we're seeing geopolitically. I see a lot more parallels than that. And we've got other professors looking at the geopolitical developments. Harvard professor warns of devastating China-Japan war. We're going to tie that in. Also, a Russian study says U.S. could easily defeat Beijing in nuclear conflict. But, you know, we'd lose 50 million people. Not saying we wouldn't get our hair messed up. Quote, George C. Scott playing one of the generals in Dr. Strangelove. Oh, man, the madness of this situation. The absolute madness of what's going on in society right now is just crazy. I got an idea. How about we just not have a nuclear war? You know, that makes sense because they have all these underground bases and the United States has spent more money than all other countries combined, not just on so-called defense, that's offense, for the globalist army, but also in the final equation to protect themselves. And I guess they don't care about Fukushima and leaking reactors because that's going to be nothing, I guess, from the fallout of a huge nuclear war. And I guess they think it's survivable. And most analysts, and we've covered these articles, had them on, you can just search it, believe that we're in greater danger of a nuclear war right now than we were in 1960, 1961, 1962, during the whole Cuban Missile Crisis, run up, during, and after. When the United States was covertly putting nuclear weapons in Turkey, so the Russians would put them in Cuba. And again, it isn't like I'm saying the U.S. was the bad guy there. It's all establishments. It's the Russians were definitely the bad guys then. But the U.S. elite, a large section of it, actually put the Bolsheviks into power and used that as a big army to take over the world while then building up another empire that they control with another hand in the name of resisting that other empire. They both built themselves up. It's almost like the arch, how you take two pillars and lean them together and then they support each other. And that's how you can take two tyrannies. Or if you create a tyranny, you can then create a system to respond to it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You know that's going to happen. And then you can steer and ride that new beast. And that's what Al-Qaeda is a prime enzyme that is used for these different equations, political, geopolitical equations. It's more of an art form to be able to guide crises and destabilize areas while at the same time taking domestic liberties. And I know I beat that dead horse to death, but you know the point is that it's starting to come out. It's starting to happen. And you know the public is basically mesmerized to the point of they don't even know that plants need water to live. They think they need Brondo because that's got what plants crave, electrolytes. And of course, I'm being sarcastic there with a Mike Judgian quote from Idiocracy, but that's pretty much what it comes down to. Like humans are now more than ever, they will change the subject to something else and then never move on to the larger issue. Dealing with people is just frustrating to say the least sometimes, as we all know, to try to communicate ideas to people that do not want to receive the idea and do not want, it's almost like thinking is seen as a labor, when it's actually very enjoyable. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, thinking about balancing your checkbook is not fun. Thinking about, you know, finding out if you have termites in your house isn't fun. But thinking about how the world works and your position in it and looking forward into the future and backwards into the past is the essence of being human. And communicating with future generations and loving them is the secret to unequivocal, true immortality.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you go up to Infowars.com, we've got the headline, Harvard professor warns of devastating China-Japan war. Russian study says U.S. could easily defeat Beijing in nuclear conflict. As the president of China and others in the last month have said, prepare for all-out multi-theater conventional war and nuclear war with the United States. And, of course, they said last week in the People's Daily and other state-run media that they are going to invade Philippine Islands that they claim really belong to China, that Japan took, and that they're also going to take other disputed islands by Japan. And if that happens, there will be war. Now, I understand Justin Bieber's in the news. He got a DWI, and that's very important as well. But we're not going to be talking about that. I already talked about entertainment industry and the mass mental illness of it and people being distracted, fiddling while Rome burns. But we are joined for the next 25 minutes by Professor Margaret McMillan from Oxford. I'm going to be out at Oxford in the middle of March doing a keynote speech. I look forward to doing that. I always wanted to go to Oxford. Honored to do that. And she has margaretmcmillan.com. She's a prestigious professor. And is the fifth warden of St. Anthony's College in 2007. She was educated at the University of Toronto College and Oxford University. She is a fellow of the Royal Society of Literature and a senior fellow at Massey College, University of Toronto. And I'm not going to go over on the boards of Mosaic Institute, Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, and the Editorial Boards of International History, and First World's War Studies. She's an expert on the World War, First World War. Professors' publications include Women of the Raja, and well as Peacemakers, the Paris Conference in 1919, and its attempt to make peace, for which she won many awards. I'm not going to go over the rest of her letters and all the work she's done. Her most recent book is The War That Ended Peace, How Europe's Abandoned Peace from the First World War. I guess that goes into Versailles. I haven't read it. She comments frequently in the media, and she joins us now, margaretmcmillan.com. Thank you so much for coming on, Professor. And I want to get into the report I saw at the London Independent. Is it 1914 all over again? We are in danger of repeating the mistakes that started World War I, says a leading historian. So thanks for coming on, and tell us about the parallels and your concern.
Well, there's some things that concern me. I mean, I don't think history ever repeats itself. I think we get similarities, but the conditions are so different. I mean, the 21st century is very different from 100 years ago. But I think what is concerning is we seem to have nationalist rivalries between countries. You have a rivalry developing, as you were mentioning earlier on, in the South China Seas, which has the potential for sparking off further tensions and conflicts. You have international ideologies. In the years before 1914, there were international ideologies of anarchists, for example. Today you have international ideologies, of religious ideologies or ultra-religious ideologies. So I think we live in a slightly turbulent time. We have globalization. Both ages are very globalized, and I think you have people worried about the impact of globalization, perhaps turning to their homes and feeling rather defensive. So I think that there are similarities. I mean, I don't think we're bound to end up in the same way they did in 1914, but you always have to be careful.
I forget the exact quote, but basically history doesn't repeat, but it kind of rhymes. Who was it said that?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. And humans act the same. even though we have almost godlike weapons and technology now, would be godlike, you know, to the ancients, Professor. But if you look at global crises, currency devaluations, armies lining up on borders, groups not compromising, really, I see the West driving conflict. And I'm obviously not a fan of what Russia and China do. I'm an American, and I'm, you know, a Westerner. But at the same time, I really see the West as filling the shoes of the villain in many respects compared to our position in the past. What's your take on that?
Well, I think human nature doesn't really change that much. I mean, I think we like to think we're a lot more sophisticated than the caveman. I'm not sure we are. I mean, I think we're still driven, at least in part, by emotions and fears. And I think what's really dangerous is when people lack or nations lack the ability to see things from the other person's point of view. And so what nations do to defend themselves and what we do to defend ourselves as individuals, we may think we're just being defensive, we're just looking out for ourselves, but that may really look like aggression from the other side. And I think that's when it gets dangerous, when you fail to understand what the other person might be thinking. And I think what's also dangerous, and you see it with individuals and you see it with nations again, is when their pride gets involved and when their prestige gets involved. I mean, you know, I think an analogy is the members of gangs, who are, to me, rather like knights in the Middle Ages. They'd rather die than be dishonored. And so I think this is a perennial strain in human nature. Now, we've got a more sensible side, and I think we've got a more reasonable side, and we've got a side where we do reach out, we do try and understand each other. So, you know, I never like to think that history is going to repeat itself, but I think we should be careful about being too complacent.
History doesn't repeat, it does rhyme, and I think that is true, as Mark Twain said it. I mean, here's the issue. You look at the moral authority of the United States, or England, or many European countries. Look at France in the just disheveled nature that it's going into from what I've been seeing and traveling and witnessing. And there is, I see a cyclical, and of course there's cycles within cycles, and I'd like you to speak to that, Professor, because you're an expert on that. I do see us going into a very sick bottom of the cycle. All the same indicators, the decadence, the debt, the corruption, the almost laissez-faire attitude of dictatorial government and corporations, the power grabbing. And as the establishment senses that, it makes basically everyone become even more feverish, including myself, adding to almost the same electrical hysteria that you see in mass movements of almost like, you know, rats overpopulated in the sewers killing each other. I mean, I'm just kind of throwing a gestalt out there. What's your take on what I'm saying?
Well, it's a pretty gloomy picture you have, and I hope it's not all true. But, you know, I think there are things we need to look out for in our own societies. I mean, I don't worry about government debt so much, because government debt, if it's going into building infrastructure, I think is actually positively a good thing, just like we borrow to buy houses through mortgages. But what I do think is worrying, and I think it's affecting a lot of Western societies, is the growing gap between the very rich and the very poor, and the way the middle class is getting squeezed out. And that isn't good for society. It leads to tensions. It leads to a lack of links between the different groups in societies. And I think you don't want a society in which a very few people at the top control a great deal of the resources of that society and are able to live in a way which insulates them from the problems of society, because it means, you know, they're probably going to have less understanding and less empathy for those who are less fortunate than themselves.
Separately, what other historical trends are you seeing? And then flesh out, if you can, some of the parallels that they were reporting on that you've seen, I guess, would it be geopolitically, parallels with 1914 and 2014?
Well, one that a lot of people have talked about, including me, and I don't know if we're right. The thing about talking about the present is you're usually much too close to it to get a very good view of it. But it seems to me you do have tensions in the world internationally now, because you have what had been a dominant power no longer as dominant as it was. It doesn't mean it's that much weaker, but it's no longer quite as dominant as it was. Before 1914, that was the British Empire, which was the world's biggest empire the world has ever seen. Hugely powerful, had the world's biggest navy, had been the world's biggest manufacturing power, but that was now being challenged. And you had a Britain and its empire that was very conscious that it was beginning to slip a bit, that it had competitors like the United States and Germany and Japan. And it seems to me today that you have the United States, which, you know, for much of the Cold War and certainly after the Cold War, was overwhelmingly the most important and powerful country in the world. It's no longer perhaps quite as powerful as it was. And that can lead to tension, because nations that feel themselves to be slipping a little bit may react in ways that aren't always predictable, and nations that sort of feel that they haven't yet got their share in the sun can be aggressive and not very tactful. I mean, Germany was not tactful before the First World War. It was sort of pushing its way into the world order and throwing its weight around. And I would say that China's not being particularly tactful today. And so it doesn't make for an easy international situation managing these shifts, often very subtle shifts, in the international order.
Exactly. I mean, China's not being tactful when they basically say, you know, prepare the nuclear weapons for war with the United States. That is a brazen escalation quite frankly, frightening.
Well, it seems to me very foolish of the Chinese because, you know, I mean, some of the rhetoric is coming. I mean, I don't think Chinese foreign policy is necessarily guided by a single sort of central agency, because you'll get the party saying one thing, you'll get the military saying another thing. You now have a Chinese public opinion, which is beginning to play a role. But it does seem to me that the Chinese are very silly, in my view, to talk in a particularly belligerent way, because they haven't yet got the capacity to back up those belligerent statements. And what they will do, as so often happens, is they may well create a coalition against them. I mean, they're not doing a lot to get on with their neighbors at the moment. And, you know, they need those neighbors. I mean, they may disapprove of a lot of what the Japanese do, but in the end, the Chinese, I think, are better off living in a world in which they get on with their neighbors rather than having all those neighbors furious at them.
Well, sure, and as you know, there's the enmity because of the Japanese invasion of China and a million dead or whatever the number is. And so I know I've seen the numbers that the Chinese, on average, I think would like a war with Japan when it's not even the same people that did this to them 70 years ago. Yeah. And so I see that as obviously where the big war could kick off.
Well, I think it's a danger, but I mean, I think the Chinese leadership, and let's hope they have the sense to see this, would not gain by a war with Japan. I mean, both countries would suffer horribly, because one thing, as you mentioned earlier, that has changed since 100 years ago is that the weapons are an awful lot more powerful, and the capacity to do real damage is that much greater. So, you know, you would end up with a war if you had one, in which really neither side would win. And in fact, that's what happened in the First World War. I mean, if you look at the end of the First World War, I mean, even the winning side had spent down their resources, lost men.
Professor, we got to go to break. We have one more short segment with you. I want to ask you what you think is most important to talk about when we come back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It's not just the deindustrialization of globalism, the race to the bottom that Ross Perot talked about in 1993 when he warned of NAFTA and GATT. It's that the West is losing its moral authority, especially the United States, with the torture and the NSA and getting caught lying and the derivatives. The problem is all these other countries have the same types of elites in them, from my research. And so it just keeps, historically, and I don't have a degree in history, but I do love reading history books, and it just, to me, as a lay person that likes history, man, I see so many parallels just everywhere. And most analysts, Pentagon colonels, generals we have on, retired, current, the think tanks, the British think tanks, the British Ministry of Defense, the Pentagon, they're all saying the same things that I'm basically saying. I'm not trying to put a bleak view on it. I want us to look at how it could be bleak if we don't do something. Let me ask you that, Professor, in the 6 minutes we've got left, other topics that you'd like to put forward, you know, what's front and center in your mind, because you are a very intelligent, you know, person who's tracked a lot of trends. But I mean, what's your comment on what I just said, and then what's the essence of what you think people should know out there, that if we don't know history, then we tend to repeat the same human mistakes?
Well, I mean, you do paint a pretty bleak picture, and I'm not sure I disagree with you completely. I think history is not going to teach us very clear lessons about the future. It's not going to say, you know, do this and all will be okay. But what history can do is give you a greater understanding of what can go wrong. I think it can give you a greater understanding of other people. I mean, if you don't understand the history of other people, you're not going to understand a lot about them. And it also gives you a greater understanding of yourself. I mean, I think we tend to deceive ourselves and think, you know, we've always been nice guys or whatever. And I think we need to look at our histories in the round. So what I think history can do, and other things do it as well, like sociology and psychology, they help you to understand human beings better, help us to understand ourselves better. And I think history can offer at least warnings. you know, it's like seeing a sign on a road that, you know, be careful, this bridge is slippery, you know, in winter. And what history can do is say, look, if you invade someone else's country, you're likely to run into trouble if they don't want you there. I mean, this may seem a very simple lesson. Or what history can say is, you know, if you don't try and understand the perspective of the other person, you're probably going to behave in ways that frighten them, alienate them, make them want to do stupid things. So I think history can help us to understand how to act in a complicated world. But I think we have got to rely on ourselves to think intelligently about the world. We can't rely on anyone providing us with lessons. We've got to keep alert. We've got to keep thinking. We can't just relax and say, well, our leaders know best. I mean, I think we've all got to take a responsibility as citizens for trying to understand the world we live in.
Looking at the different areas of the world that are in increased conflict and tension, what are the big hot spots for you, Professor?
Well, the hot spots, I mean, I think East Asia is a potential hot spot. I think the Middle East remains a hot spot because areas of the world where you have local divisions and rivalries are troublesome for the people who live there in themselves, but they also, if they are geographically in the wrong places, run the risk of drawing outside powers in. And so what makes East Asia, the South China Sea, potentially perilous, and what makes the Middle East potentially perilous is not just the local conflicts there, but the potential they have to draw in other great powers.
Well, I see Russia trying to reorganize itself as a great opportunity if the West would actually try to collaborate with them. But instead, they see Russia as weak, obviously. So they're sending in the destabilization forces into Kiev, in the Ukraine. Right. And obviously, I don't want the Ukraine to join back with Russia again. But they don't want to be part of the collapsing EU. Yeah. And so then the CIA's there trying to destabilize it. I mean, they're on record doing that. And, of course, the Russians are getting angry. It just seems like a real lost opportunity
I think generally in the West we've mishandled Russia since the end of the Cold War. I mean, Russia is an old country, very strong sense of itself. Russians are proud people. And when they lost the Cold War, which they clearly did, we treated them with contempt. We treated them like, you know, people who didn't know what they were doing. And I think you have a great sense of resentment in Russia. And I think you see that in Putin's behavior today. He's trying to reassert Russia on the world stage and show that Russia can't be pushed around. And I think we lost an opportunity there. And I think we're now going to have to deal with a much more aggressive Russia. I don't think aggressive militarily, but it's going to be asserting itself a lot more on the world stage. It's already asserting itself in the Middle East, in the Caucasus, in Ukraine, in Belarus. And I think we're going to see a Russia that's more prepared to sort of really play a part in the world.
It's unbelievable. And it's because the weapons manufacturers want to continue selling weapons until they basically kill us all, and it's just a real crisis. Well, I hope sometime you'll come back on with us and talk about Russia, and people can find out more about your great books and more at margaretmacmillan.com. Thank you so much, Professor.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure talking to you. Really neat lady. I'm going to read some of her books. All right, folks, we're going to come back, give the phone number out, take your calls ahead of Bob Barr coming on. I want to talk about so much. Well, I'm going to come back and give the number out, but I'm going to really try to go to your calls. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Our mission, wage war on corruption, the crash of the lies, and disinformation. We see the Earth orbiting through deep space on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. In the night sky, we stare into the galaxy, edge on, towards the core, floating through the cosmos with trillions of other galaxies, expanding out forever in a river of infinity flowing forward and backwards. And the average person is obsessed, because the media tells us to be, with Justin Bieber's diaper pants. Justin Bieber's diaper pants. The secret of the universe is the contents of the diaper pants. And the question, to be or not to be, whether it is nobler. Will you guys print me that? Thanks. It's Macbeth. Whether it is nobler to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. I was thinking about my grandfather again this morning and how interesting he was and how much I wish I could talk to him. My mom's dad, other grandfather was great too. And what a dreamer he was. Like, he was the type of guy that when my mother was like 6 or 7 and her brother was 11, going from memory, took them to an academic talk in a stadium seating classroom, a lecture hall, not a main UT speech, but an actual rocket science meeting with all these scientists. And he pulled strings to get my mother, and she was, I think, 6 or 7 in a little dress, and my uncle to sit there and listen to a 2-hour dissertation on the future of space exploration by Wernher von Braun, the Nazi, the founder of NASA. And I think about kids today, they're watching My Little Pony, and their dreams are to someday meet the magic people that are on television, because those are the people, those are their friends. They don't have real friends, they have friends on Friends. They have friends on Cheers. They have imaginary friends. And of course they don't think they've ever made it or are going to be anybody, because they can't obtain unobtainium. They cannot obtain this magical elixir that is flowing out of the open wound, stinking, scrofulous wound of the New World Order. I mean, that's mind control. And I was just thinking about how people are not taught to like history. They're not taught to like anything except scum. And I think about how much of that I've not even shaken off. It's just unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. I don't know what's going to happen to us, folks. I just know that the road we're going down is bad. I went off the road. And we've got to get off this road together. We want out of this. We're going to have to work together. And I know that's a very simple statement, but I mean, what do we do? That's the question. We've been taught to infight. We've been taught to be mentally ill. We've been taught to be screwed up from birth. And you're now seeing it get worse. And the next download of disinfo coming in and the next phase of human destruction. Hold on to your hats, all I can say. Here's an article yesterday I never got to from Infowars.com. In the most popular section, Utah police obtained grenade launchers, riot gear from the feds, giant armored vehicles. Even small towns with as few as 10 deputies are getting actual war wagons. And they are training, ladies and gentlemen, nationwide to take on gun owners in a collapse. And you know what that tells you? Just like Katrina, it'll be guns that cause stabilization in areas. Every study and common sense shows that. But you better bet your bottom dollar that after they've starved us out, if they go with that plan, that's one of the plans on the table, on record. If they go with a siege program, a fast siege program, not a slow siege that we're already under Agenda 21 being deindustrialized, in this globalist deal where they claimed, oh, we'll transfer everything to China and India and the third world to bring them up, so that we all have world peace, but instead they shut us down and then brought the industry there at a level so low that it actually brings those populations down even further as a plan, and then just public about it. Yeah, humans are scum. We want to make you poor. Oh, yay. I'll go to Whole Foods. They've got all the magazines there, you know, about how cool it is to be poor and how cool it is to, you know, the new hobo line of clothing. And it's just a diseased system. diseased brains have come up with this stuff. Because you look at it and the dark logic of it, it is a permutation of failure. And it's a hate letter to humanity by the social engineers that they would want to swim in an ocean of betrayal and dehumanization. That's all I can really say on that front. Toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. And all I ask is, because when I direct folks on the topic, we get great callers. When I say it's an open line, free-for-all, it's a disaster. A train wreck of people that sound like they've been drinking cough syrup all day calling into the broadcast. And I guess that's the nature of freedom, that if it's just wide open, and people don't tend to appreciate it. But then if people have to fight for freedom, they then do appreciate it. You get an age of virtue instead of an age of what we're seeing now. The toll-free number to join us, we'll see if today's different on any topic you wish, any questions or comments you have, is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we will get you up and on the air here on this Thursday edition. And I think I'm going to twist his arm tomorrow. My cousin, Buckley Hammond, my late uncle's son, good friend of mine, he's down here visiting family. I think we're going to go see our grandmother today. That's a good idea. You know, I've not seen my grandmother since my uncle died, her son died, and I have not gone over there because I do not want to see the pain in her eyes. And it's another form of cowardice. I'm going to go over there today or tomorrow. Quite frankly, I just got so much work to do. It's just always more work, always more to do. And it's you can hear I'm very tired today. I was not going to do the show today, as I told you, because I was up way too late and have bad allergies today. But I'm here. But if I kind of just go off reservation here, that's why. 800-259-9231. Here, let's just do this. Let me just read you some of the headlines here. You know, let me do this while the calls are coming in. Let me read you about the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Is that how you pronounce that? And, of course, do you know the story of the Pied Piper? Because that's what Hollywood is. And that's what Al-Qaeda is. The rats are Al-Qaeda. And then you call in the Pied Piper because he can get rid of the rats for you. But the next time he comes and plays his flute, your children all leave with him, your whole future and everything you got. And look at our culture. Our children are run by the state and the media. And we are not even human anymore. We've lost our individualism. We have been overwritten. And Al-Qaeda is the rats. And the Pied Piper is the global corporatists that run them. And again, we come and hire him to get the rats out. But of course, we give up our children, the most precious thing in the world to us that we'd give our lives for. But, you know, the town doesn't even want to say that's wrong because they were complicit in it. And so, you know, it's the right thing to do to let him have all our children, isn't it? The TSA and the NSA and the torture and all this bull, folks. All of it's a lie. And we all know that. So why do we take part in it? You know, we need to throw the Pied Piper in the river. You know, a guy running for the legislature in Florida said that Obama's a traitor and should be hung. The Secret Service came out to him. And I don't think Obama should be hung because he's not the guy to be hung here. He is a front man. But I think the system should be hung. We should throw the system in the river collectively. Florida GOP candidate Buck's party calls for withdrawal after deplorable Obama comment. Well, I mean, it's not deplorable from a man who doesn't understand the full thing but has enough honor to have the courage to say, according to common law and common sense, absolutely. I mean, if justice was served through due process, you would have thousands of people swinging from the end of ropes in this country. I mean, everybody knows that. So that's why everybody's freaking out about it, like Ted Cruz calling Obama dangerous and frightening. I mean, that's true. I mean, you've got to call it what it is, but it's easy now to sit there and go, oh, this guy, he's bad. No, he's not. From his perspective, what he said is true. But you can't You can't get to bring Obama down politically. And then these guys have the nuclear weapons. You think if we try to actually arrest all these people, you know what they're going to do? They're going to set off nukes and say the Russians did it or the Patriots did it or working with Al-Qaeda. I mean, let me tell you something. You've got to have an awakening to these criminals to stop them. You've got to know their system and their game and not participate in the rigged poker game with cards up their sleeves. I mean, they don't even hide the cards. They got like eight decks of cards. You're playing. Like, let me get the ace of spades to beat you. I got five of them here. I mean, I got three royal flushes here. I mean, it's a game. Don't sit down at the table. It's a bad, don't go to the casino, folks, unless you know you're going to blow money and you think that's fun. You're not going to go get rich there. It's a Pied Piper. Now, continuing, the Pied Piper. German. Rattenfänger. Von Hamelin. The rat catcher of Hamelin. Is the subject of a legend concerning the departure or death of a great number of children from the town of Hamelin, Lower Saxony, Germany, in the Middle Ages. The earliest references describe a piper dressed in multicolored clothing, leading the children away from the town never to return. In the 16th century, the story was expanded into a full narrative, in which the piper is a rat catcher, hired by the town to lure rats away with his magic pipe. When the citizenry refuses to pay for the service, he retaliates by turning his power that he put into his instrument on the children, leading them away as he had the rats. This vision of the story and this version spread as folklore. This version has also appeared in the writings of, amongst others, John Wolfgang von Goethe. Am I pronouncing that right? Goethe. And the brothers Grimm and Robert Browning. Robert Browning. Didn't he write, Roland the Dark Tower came? See, I've come to my dark tower. I realize that. I have, in 2013 and now in 2014, I have come to the dark tower. I am now in the dark tower. Think about that. Child Roland, the Dark Tower came. Child Roland, the Dark Tower came. His word was still, fi, toth, and fum. I smell the blood of a British man, King Lear. Act 3, Scene 3. That was the inspiration. Hey, print me that poem. And what was the other one I wanted earlier? What was the other one I was... just the Shakespeare Hamlet part about when they dig up the skull of his teacher. To be or not to be is the famous opening phrase of a soliloquy in the nunnery scene of William Shakespeare's play Hamlet. In the speech, a despondent or feigning Prince Hamlet contemplates death and suicide. He bemoans the pains and unfairness of life, but acknowledges the alternative might still be worse. The speech functions within the play to explain Hamlet's hesitation to directly and immediately revenge his father's murder, discovered in Act One, on his uncle, stepfather, and new king, Claudius, and his minister. Air eavesdropping. His speech dashes hopes that Hamlet was suffering from neglected love. And it goes on from there. All right, I'll shut up and go to your phone calls. Let's go ahead and talk to Kevin in Georgia. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Talking to you from FEMA Region 4.
Oh, isn't that great to be under a FEMA region? They're good people, though. I mean, the government's good. It's good people.
Well, it's cold here.
Yeah, global warming. It's really killing a lot of people or freezing to death. Yeah, didn't pay Al Gore enough money, buddy.
That's right. Well, I told him the check was in the mail.
Good. Well, he'll fix it then.
There you go. A couple of weeks ago, I heard you talking to a lady about she lost her kids to CPS, whatever you want to. And I was wondering if I could get that phone number, because my friend, he lost his kids to the same people, and he's been in jail for 8 months now without a trial, because they took his kids. The judge wouldn't let him even talk to him, you know, to say goodbye, and he got sort of upset and started yelling at the judge.
How it works. Normal behavior, then they put you in the system.
Exactly.
That's why you've got to be completely calm and cunning with this enemy. And
yeah, well, you know, he hadn't seen his kids in a year, and then he went for, another hearing, and then they wouldn't even let him, you know. He just wanted to talk to him, you know.
Well, that's criminal right there. I mean, listen, the Pied Piper got the kids. When you say you want that number, there's different groups that... The homeschool, defense groups, there's a lot of different associations that fight because homeschoolers are somewhat organized. But what number are you talking about?
You told the lady to hold on. I can give you a telephone number of a lawyer that could probably help you, because the lawyer that he has is useless.
No, I was saying go dig up the homeschool legal defense groups and try to give her that information. I don't have that in front of me. I don't have a Rolodex. But it says you can do research on groups that fight the CPS, and every authoritarian regime kidnaps children. For a man to march as a child and at the end to become a man, to enter the Dark Tower, and to then be amongst all the other men that came before, to stand in that knowledge of being a man. I have only just become a man. I realize that. And so many men out there never do become men. That's a very sad thing. And that is the main goal of the enemy, is that you never develop. I'm going to go back to your phone calls, but I did get the Shakespeare text here. You guys also print me, is it Mark Anthony's speech in William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar? Just type in Mark Anthony's speech in Julius Caesar's, Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. That's a really good speech. I love the Charlton Heston rendition of that. Here's the modern version text. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take up arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them, to die, to sleep, no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. Man, that's powerful. That's everything right there. Let's go ahead and talk. Of course you want to take up arms against the sea of troubles. That is the great contest. Let's talk to Carl in Washington. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I just wanted to make a couple of comments watching Adam Kokesh yesterday, and he was speaking about going to the happy place and inside and all of this, and I don't know, it reminded me, I'm a Vietnam veteran, it reminded me of the flower power in the 60s, and don't agree with that thought. I understand self-control, but I think there's a time, just like this lady you had on today already. I just think that there's a certain point where that's almost denial of what's going on around you. And one of the other comments I wanted to make was he was talking about how to take back the United States, and by returning the power to the states. And I'm sitting here wondering what show he's watching, because I don't know what the percentage is, but there's several states I know that are almost as bad as the federal government is.
I know, but you see, you want to create a multipolar power base to divide the establishment. So you want the establishment divided so you can't get a centralization, which always turns into a tyranny. You have a separation of powers. So that's the function. I mean, look at Tennessee is about to pass a bill is looking to pass a bill that will make it illegal to give aid and comfort to the NSA. Well, you're supposed to do that. I mean, that's how you cut it off, is you say it's illegal to give power or electricity to these people. They're committing crimes. It's on record. It's criminal. Violates the law on its face. And so you turn their power off. And I'm proud of Tennessee. And Texas could be doing that as well. But we need, believe me, I hear what you're saying, brother. But what do you think we need to do then?
I don't like what we need to do, but I
hold
think
on. I'm going to come back to you in 1 minute, another people.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
They've got all these congressional boards and think tanks coming out in the news saying, our findings are it is completely illegal to have random NSA spy grids. It violates the Fourth Amendment. Our findings are you need oxygen to live. I've got those articles. Board declares NSA data sweep illegal. Fox News says program should be ended. The bulk telephone records program lacks a visible legal foundation. The board's report said, adding that it raises serious threats to privacy and civil liberties, said a board of top lawyers. Obama is a constitutional lawyer. Just as a surgeon is an expert at making you stay alive, a surgeon can also be an expert at killing you. And then making it all look like it was just a regular, happy-go-lucky procedure. All bound up in a nice little package. We are broadcasting worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go right back to your phone calls. And back to the caller who was, I guess, saying we need to have violence or something. That's a very big topic. We should have a whole discussion maybe tomorrow or on the Sunday show about is there ever a time for violence against government. Declaration of Independence says it's not a right, it's a duty. The thing is, just because we have the right to do that at this point, you have to understand they're going to manipulate that into a scenario that's going to cause a civil war. And things may get so bad that we have no other choice because the other alternatives are so horrible. It's like the French Resistance. We've already been overrun and captured. And if we politically wake up and just withdraw consent and don't collaborate, the enemy will fade like phantoms at dawn, as Thomas Jefferson said. Tyranny will leave like phantoms at dawn. But these mists will not leave until we bring the light of liberty back. It's real simple. And we have to be those lights in the world so people can see what's going on. Everybody knows we're going into very serious darkness here. And we need to reverse that as quickly as possible. We're just stating the obvious here, like a ghost dance. Trying to resurrect basic checks and balances that have been eroded for a long time. And the establishment knows that if they can convert things over to tyranny and even have a debate about it and just kind of flaunt it in our face that they've won. And it's really that simple. Where Obama and the government's just parading around doing whatever they want, having debates about it, and then just going on about their business. So we're going to go to Jay and Greg and James and Felix after Bob Barr leaves us coming up about 25 minutes. If you folks want to hold, I will get to you. I want to hear from Felix. It says FEMA inspections for homes and another caller says FEMA Region 3 issues. James and Jay wants to talk about surveillance cameras. Greg wants to talk about armored vehicles in Utah. He's a KYAH 540 AM listener. We're going to get to everybody. But the caller, Carl, finishing up with you. So, I mean, we have 1 minute. What do you think we should do? Because the issue is any type of offensive violence will just be misdirected and we'll just let the enemy come down on us in their time instead of letting them play out their operation where they're losing credibility and we're winning hearts and minds every day. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do understand that, and I'm of the same mind. I'm just, I grew up a little bit like I've heard you talk about, and there's certain people that mindset-wise, the only way that they get it is when you knock them on their butt, and I think some of these psychopaths or sociopaths, whatever you call them, I don't think that they're willingly going to leave.
No, I hear you. Listen. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, and people like him should go to prison or more for openly arming Al-Qaeda with surface-to-air missiles and blowing up churches. I mean, they've aided and abetted mass murder.
He aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around. From tree to the ground. Shutter from the sound. The death machine ain't slowing down. It's gaining pound for pound.
You know, I'm excited because former Congressman Bob Barr is running for Congress again, and that's very, very exciting. BarCongress.com. Maybe he can go in there and bar them, pun intended, from totally overthrowing the Republic. This is a guy who decades ago was a leading voice and has continued to be one warning of growing tyranny. And he's got Liberty Guard trying to restrict and bar what the TSA has been up to and all those outrages. We see that picking up steam in Congress right now to make them not bark orders and grab people's genitals and all the rest of it. So there is an awakening going on. And he's also been writing for Town Hall dealing with the NSA. Of course, he was in the CIA as well. And so that gives Bob Barr a unique perspective on really the ins and outs of government and how it works. His latest article is Transparency Through a Glass Darkly. And you know, I knew that he was going to be running for Congress again, literally just hit me that he's running and we need to support him and get him in there. And people say, well, he was in the CIA. He must be bad. Ladies and gentlemen, government's all compartmentalized. And people in the military and people I know that have been in the CIA are some of the most patriotic, informed, hardworking people. It's that there's compartmentalized groups using national security covers to be able to carry out their own nefarious deeds. That's why we need transparency. And that's why he's always been a leading light in transparency. And I only raise that because it's not even really ever a controversy. I just hear, well, he says a lot of good stuff, but he's in the CIA. He's helped get a lot of good legislation passed and has helped block a lot of legislation. We don't have Ron Paul in Congress anymore. He was in Congress, got out of Congress, got back in Congress. We need to send Bob Barr back to Congress. And I didn't mean to turn this into a campaign promotion here, but it just hit me. Well, I've got Bob Barr on. I'm about to interrogate him about the NSA and all the stuff that's going on and you know, get his take on it and how to turn it around. And I'm not even going to mention he's running for Congress. So first off, sir, glad that you're throwing your hat back in the ring. I know it's a lot of work, but we really appreciate that. And tell us about the campaign and what your goals are there in Georgia.
Thank you so much, Alex. That's a great pleasure and honor once again to be with you and your many, many listeners across the land. I was at a forum last night just outside of Atlanta where my district is, and I was asked a question. You served in the Congress before. You were President Reagan's U.S. attorney. You have background in the CIA. You know, you could just sort of retire and sit back and take it easy. Why are you getting back into the fray? Why are you running again for the Congress? And I said, it's simple. I love this country too much not to get back into the arena. With what I see happening, Alex, you were there. You mentioned a couple of the things just a few minutes ago that I was working on years and years ago when I was in the Congress, when we first started to learn about the abuses by NSA and the electronic surveillance, the illegal stuff going on, and what the FBI was doing through Project Carnivore and Project Echelon. And it's even worse nowadays. The reason why it's so important for you to continue to be out there to raise these issues, both yourself and your many guests, is because government is constantly and forever, our founding fathers understood this, looking for ways to increase its power at the expense of individual liberty. And if you let up, then it's just going to keep going and going and going. It's worse now than it was before, and that's why I want to step in there and make sure that I do my part with whatever years the good Lord has left for me on this earth to rein in government power. I mean, it's almost to the point. It's not to the point yet, but it's almost to the point where it's going to be irreversible, and I ain't going to sleep until I do everything I can to stop it.
Just following it in the news, even though the media has been trying to ignore you or attack you both, you got a good chance of winning. What do we do to help get you into Congress for our listeners? Because it doesn't matter if people don't live in Georgia. They should be supporting you however they can. Because, I mean, absolutely, you came on this show in the late 90s and so many times, dozens of times, and it was always the NSA spying, the FBI, Carnivore. We got to pass a law. We got to ban this. We got to dismantle this. It's dangerous. Total tyranny. They're going to use it to oppress the press. They're going to use it to persecute political enemies. This is going to be the end of us. And really, even more than Ron Paul on the subject of NSA and FBI illegal surveillance, you were there because obviously you understand it more than most members of Congress who are just lawyers or just doctors. You know, you've been, you know, inside secret operations and things. You understand the dangers. I mean, explain to us, as you've done before, why basic freedom is based in having privacy, and without privacy, you have no freedom.
Well, very, very good point, and it's fundamentally important. And to take one of your simpler points first, the fact of the matter is, we need people up there fighting for individual liberty and fighting against these encroachments by government power, who have been there, who know what government is doing. I mean, I learned as an official with the CIA, just on one hand, how important it is that we have a foreign intelligence agency like the CIA. But how equally important it is to make sure that it is kept within bounds, because it is so easy to have that power abused when it is secret. Similarly, when I served as President Reagan's U.S. attorney in Atlanta, I learned how important it is, certainly, to have good prosecutors to uphold their laws and protect the public. But being on the inside, I also know just how powerful these agencies are and how easily those powers can be abused. So I really am in a unique position in many ways to tackle these problems. With regard to the privacy issue, basically what you were doing just a moment ago, Alex, and discussing how important it is to retain the right to privacy is quoting or paraphrasing Ayn Rand. As you and I have discussed previously, as Ayn Rand said in The Fountainhead toward the end of that great novel on individual freedom and individual power standing up to the government, privacy is essential to civilization. Keeping men free from other men is the essence of privacy and the essence of civilization. Without privacy, you can have no freedom. You have no civilization. You live in a communal world where everything is controlled by the community, both ideas, money, work product, and so forth. So maintaining the right to privacy as codified, for example, in the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution, that the government cannot invade your privacy by searching your personal records, belongings, things, and homes, is essential to freedom. It's essential to liberty. Our founding fathers understood that. They understood it long before Ayn Rand wrote about it 150 years later in the 1940s. And what has been happening since the days when I worked at the CIA back in the 1970s, where we had a very clear demarcation line, very clearly demarcated between domestic and international affairs, that line has been blurred to the point where in the minds of the NSA and these folks up there like Clapper and the Brennan and the others up there, it no longer exists. They think that as long as they say we're doing something in the name of national security, as long as we're fighting terrorism, then we can do whatever we want, wherever we want, to whoever we want. And that is a philosophy that is a recipe for tyranny.
Well, it certainly is. And then look at how they've used the NSA on Fox News, the Associated Press, how they've used the IRS to persecute Tea Party pro-life groups. Now they're persecuting secret conservative Hollywood groups. I mean, this is beyond McCarthy times 10. And this is tyranny, and we need to recognize it's already here. It was Senator Ted Cruz that said that Obama is frightening, that he's terrifying, that he's dangerous. And the media tried to demonize him, but that only backfired on him because the public understands the unitary executive that's been degenerating for a while. I'm not saying Obama's going to stay in office, but they're turning the executive with the bureaucracy and the interests that run it into a 2.0 modern synthetic oligarchy or dictatorship, you know, those that control the presidency like a control panel, a dictatorial control panel, and then the president's kind of a window hanging there. Do you agree with that analogy? And at what point are we historically? Because, even Jonathan Turley said we're coming to the point, other folks have said in Congress, that the only option would be armed rebellion, which obviously we don't want, and the system set up for that, and it would cause a civil war. So what do you do then, and what point have we reached, Congressman?
What we do is, first of all, at least within my bailiwick running for Congress, we need to get people into Congress and demand that our folks in the Congress stand up for what Congress is supposed to stand up for. Congress is not a rubber stamp for a president, despite what Harry Reid might think or what Nancy Pelosi might believe. Congress has to stand up to the president, regardless of the political party of the president, because they are protecting, they are in the vanguards, one of the protectors of our fundamental liberty. And part of what Congress has an absolute responsibility to do, and they time and time again in modern years have failed to do this, and that is to stand up to presidents who basically slap Congress around, say, I'm not going to do what the law says. I'm going to pass, sign an executive order and do what I want. I'm not going to do what you, the Congress, have directed by lawfully passed legislation. And Congress sits back, and what do they do, Alex? They say, thank you, sir. May we have another, sir. Every time that happens, we move further down the road toward consolidating absolute power in the presidency and weakening the fundamental pillars of our representative democracy, because Congress cedes power to the president when they do not stand up to the president.
Sure.
That's the problem that we see over and over and over again, and it happens under Republican presidents the same as Democratic presidents, except this one is much worse.
Now, expanding on that, you know, Ted Cruz called him frightening and dangerous. We just pulled up the Houston Chronicle article on that. How would you describe Obama? I mean, what is the word for it? Because it doesn't matter if it's energy or guns or borders, legalizing the illegals, getting Obamacare passed and saying he'll selectively enforce it. And Congress says, okay. And he'll selectively decide what to do with the NSA. Okay. Congress passing the buck. And then the state of Texas was about to pass a law unanimously in the House, so they killed it in the Senate 2 years ago, as you know. And then Obama said, I will have F-16s. This was in the news. It wasn't even a big deal. It was just a footnote. We will blockade aircraft, and no aircraft will be allowed to fly in Texas. I mean, this is like the stuff that started the Civil War. That's why I'm going there. I mean, this is already getting crazy.
It is no longer hypothetical. When you have statements like that, and when you have statements like the president issued the other day, basically throwing down the gauntlet to the Congress, saying, I don't care what you do. I have a pen. I can order people to do what I want, regardless of what Congress says, regardless of what the laws of this country say. And Congress just sits back and does nothing. We, the people, have to rise up and demand that they do something. Get these guys out of office that are in there who just sit back sort of and sleepwalk through their terms in the Congress. We need people that will fight. And I'm not saying I'm the only one. There are some other good folks up there and some good candidates around the country. But whether it's whether you're talking about immigration law, whether you're talking about national security in Benghazi, whether you're talking about the fundamental right to privacy and allowing NSA to violate the Constitution and the laws of this land, we need people up there that understand these issues and have the backbone, as I've proven I did when I stood up to Bill Clinton and led the impeachment of that scoundrel a generation ago. We need these people in the Congress, and that's why I'm running.
And we've got Obama saying things like he's good at killing people. I mean, even the people I know that are Army and Navy Special Forces and Marines. I mean, the guys, no one, even if he killed people with his bare hands, you don't make statements like, I'm good at killing people. I think it shows a narcissistic, really amateurism of Obama, and it frightens me to think that these people are so into red carpets, so into the jets, so into the month-long vacations, to know that even if we had a corrupt elite, if they weren't so reckless, it wouldn't be as scary. I mean, I really have never been a big fan of the theory that it's a government incompetence theory, but more and more you see the foreign policy is uncoordinated. It's crazy. I mean, funding al-Qaeda to attack Syria, what's your take on that?
Well, it's... On the one hand, one could be charitable, as you uncharacteristically were just a moment ago, and saying this is just amateurism. What they're doing, you could sort of chalk it up to, well, they just don't really understand the Middle East. They don't understand the international affairs. I mean, after all, this guy was nothing but a community organizer and a faux constitutional law professor. The fact of the matter is, I think it goes deeper than that.
Oh, I agree.
It goes deeper than simply their amateurism. It's worse than they simply don't know what they're doing. They have a worldview that is 180 degrees at odds with what the vast majority of our citizens believe and understand and want to see in the world, and that is an America that is strong, that is the shining city on the hill, that carries weight in whatever we do, that does not have to kowtow to communist China because they have $1.3 trillion of our debt in their pocket that they can hold over our head. That's the sort of thing that costs us dearly, even in non-economic terms as well, because it reduces the flexibility and the options that are available to the United States of America in dealing with these foreign problems crises. As long as we remain a major debtor nation, we will not carry the weight in the world that a Ronald Reagan did.
Well, that's right. And just to qualify what I was saying so it's clear, obviously they're consciously... Cloward and Piven, domesticate the public, centralize the power, give favors to insiders, pick winners and losers. We know the big city mafia Democratic Party disease that's the worst out there. The Republican disease of the neocons is bad, but I mean, there's nothing worse than this group who they're not even socialists like they claim. They're just gangsters. I'm saying there's an amateurism that I see coming through in the recklessness of what they're doing. Sure, they have a method of the madness. I'm just seeing the playboy nature of it, and I'm trying to quantify what I'm saying. There's just something very creepy about a bunch of gangsters up there running the American empire, and very frightening.
It is frightening because they can not only waste the great legacy that we have in this country, but the very continued existence of us as a major nation is at stake. I mean, it could not, Alex, be more serious. And here again, that's why it's so important for you to continue to be out there bringing this message, to follow up on a point you made earlier, why it's so important for citizens and voters all across this land, whatever state they live in, whatever congressional district they're in, to support my candidacy, because just like there are members of Congress and candidates from other part of the other parts of the country that I support. I need the support of Americans from all over the country to go to barcongress.com to help us out, because the votes that I take, the positions that I take, will help Americans all across this great land. Similarly, Ted Cruz. I don't live in Texas. My mom does, but I support him, even though I'm not in his district in the state of Texas.
Exactly. Let me expand on how important this is, folks. Bob Barr said everything Ted Cruz is saying 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And it's just that back then, the dinosaur media was still dominant. And so he could barely get on CNN, you know, get on Fox sometimes. So the message, people weren't ready to hear this libertarian, constitutional, truly conservative, common sense message. And Bob Barr was popular, but just not iconic. I'm telling you, you get back in Congress now, it'll be like having another Rand Paul, another Ted Cruz, but it's like bringing back, you know, Babe Ruth, back to life, basically. And
no, don't get carried away, Alex. I'm liking too much of what you're saying there. Don't get too carried away. I mean,
I'm serious. You're going
to
be
in there with some outstanding Americans that we need to continue to support.
No, but I mean,
Ron Paul.
Exactly. I'm just saying, Ron Paul never got his due when he was there until the end, and then he became a rock star of liberty. That's what we need. And I'm saying we need to get you back in Congress to be a major leader. And the zeitgeist is there. The climate is right. I mean, I'm not just putting, you know, perfume on this thing. I'm sure that's why you know to throw your hat in the ring. If you get in there, you're going to really be able to have a bully pulpit and really get in there and do some filibustering, to expose what's happening.
And one of the it might be a minor point to some people or inside the beltway, so to speak, but it's also very important for people to recognize that when I do go back to the Congress in the House, I keep the 8 years of seniority that I accumulated earlier, which is extremely important to do what you just said, and that is to get things done to move our agenda forward up there.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, folks, if you study Congress, Bob Barr back in, that is and then to help formulate more leaders, more libertarian patriots to just take this country back. I mean, we can do it if we get behind people like Bob Barr, folks. So, again, go to Bob Barr's congressional website. We're going to put it back on the screen for folks, and I'm going to give you that URL. It is absolutely essential that people go there. Congressman, tell folks how they can go to your website.
Just, it's a very simple, www.barcongress, barrcongress.com, barcongress.com.
Can't miss that, I tell you. And we're out of time. You got to promise to come back soon to talk about all the other issues. A selfish question. Whatever happened with the lawsuit, because I know you got the intel that Matt Drudge, Alex Jones, Infowars.com, you know, that we were being demonized and on these lists, and they were trying to declare national security and stuff. Did we ever find out what the TSA is up to?
That case, I mean, it's like the old case in Bleak House by Charles Dickens, Jarndyce v. Jarndyce. It just drags on for generation after generation. We're still engaged after about 3 years of litigation with the FOIA trying to get the information on what the TSA did 3 years ago, as I think it was right around Thanksgiving time.
Well, I know you've got
to the bottom of it.
I know you've got to go soon, but if you can do just 5 more minutes with us on the other side, Congressman Barr, I want to talk about the NSA, talk about how we stop that, talk about how you think we defeat this security theater that is the TSA and other issues with former Congressman Bob Barr. We're going to put back in Congress. It is so important, ladies and gentlemen. You can nitpick people all day long, but I mean, Bob Barr compared to Nancy Pelosi and people like that is the polar opposite of those traitors. And we cannot use strong enough rhetoric because these people are scum.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time.
Folks, I get excited about beating the tyrants. And, you know, I've had Bob Barr on many times and haven't ever really gushed like I'm gushing now. I was just remembering all the stuff he did, actual legislation, actual police state stuff he stopped, actual FBI police state stuff he stopped, CIA stuff he stopped. And listen, we barely beat those gun confiscation bills and all the garbage that Obama had in the Senate. If it wasn't for Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, it would have passed. And if it wasn't for a few people like Walter Jones and folks like Ron Paul and Amash and all those people in the House, we would have lost. We are inches from losing, okay? But we're inches from winning. And so, I mean, this is a war. I mean, my whole life, okay? Because my children, three children, two daughters and a son, they don't have a future. And my family's been here since 1620, both sides, on the Mayflower, okay? I mean, I'm all in for America. And people watch football games and want their team to win, and they get upset about it. This is 100 times that, and that's the attitude we've got to have here. I mean, I'm in it to win it. That's why I'm aggressive, because we've got to get people out of their days. And so I start talking to somebody like Bob Barr, and I was getting him on about the NSA and stuff, and he was running for Congress, and it kind of clicked. Wow. Think about what it's going to be like to have him back in there. It's going to be explosive. The climate has shifted. There is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. But our fortune isn't money and power. Our fortune is a future. Our fortune is saving this country and the world. I mean, that's the stakes. And Bob Barr, I mean, it sounds sensational, but if the shoe fits, wear it. I mean, I think that's where we are historically. I think people should really understand the stakes. What are the stakes right now? You were telling me off air, you're excited, you're in the lead, you need to stay in the lead, you're probably going to win, but people need to get behind you and that you are going to knock heads. Repeat what you said, and then where are we historically?
Well, the one thing, I've been called a lot of things over the years, particularly by the liberal media. But one thing I've never been called is a member of the establishment. I live to shake up the establishment because the establishment seeks to exert control over individuals. And that's the one word that always comes to my mind in talking about Washington. It's all about the big C, control. And I am excited about running. We are in the lead, but we need to get your listeners and our supporters, wherever they are, excited and motivated and active, because you know you can be in the lead one day and not in the lead the next day. And I need to stay in the lead in order to get back up there to shake things up in Washington. You know, I don't want to say it'll be fun to shake things up in Washington, but Alex, it will be to get back up there. I mean, I remember 16 years ago to the day I was on the floor of the Senate arguing to remove President Clinton from office. I mean, that's the kind of drive, that's the kind of commitment, that's the kind of backbone that we need up there, willing to take on all comers.
Yeah, because let's just say it. I mean, a lot of people died that went up against Clinton. A lot of airplanes blew up. A lot of people got shot in the head five times, and it does take backbone to try to impeach somebody when you're going up against gangsters like this. And we've got to get rid of the Clinton mafia. And I think what you're hinting at is if we put you back into Congress, you are going to start investigating, bringing charges of impeachment up in the House.
Alex, I was with some folks just recently, and I pulled out of a file in my office the House resolution, the House resolution that I introduced on November 5th of 1997. That was the very first official inquiry of impeachment filed against Bill Clinton. And that was mine, and at the time I think I had 18 co-sponsors was all in November of 1997. And what I did is I took that document, figuratively kind of dusted it off, added a little bit of language to it, and darned if it doesn't sound pretty good with Barack Obama's name in there.
Oh, man. So I think it's safe to say if you get back in Congress, the evidence is already there. You're going to start looking into the inquiry to begin getting the co-sponsors for indicting the president in the House, and I guess he'll be tried in the Senate?
I think it really has come to that. Not, it's not something I like to say when I left the House before, after we impeached Clinton. You know, my hope was that we would never have to go through that process again. But we do. We do need to stand up for the rule of law. We do need to stand up for proper separation of powers. And we do need to stand up and tell a president. We have an attorney general that won't do it. We need people in the Congress who will stand up and say, Mr. President, you are not above the law. You cannot ignore the law. You cannot simply violate the law, violate the Constitution, because from a policy standpoint, you deem it appropriate to do so. We don't operate that way in America, and you are not going to be permitted any longer to do that.
Well, look at Walter Jones from North Carolina, who's a frequent guest. You know, he's got the bill introduced that if they continue to back Al-Qaeda and bomb more countries, that impeachment will begin. But no one's got the nerve when he's the clearest president to be impeached ever. It makes Richard Nixon look like an angel, and I'm no fan of Richard Nixon. And then I look at the Democrats persecuting people and going after Republican governors and people for stuff that's questionable, if it's even really illegal, you know, endorsing vitamin companies and stuff. I mean, give me a break, you know, like we're seeing in Virginia. And it's really frightening when you see how the Democrats operate, trying to indict all their foes, trying to send, you know, a Republican congressman from Texas to jail for totally legal PACs.
What they did to Tom DeLay was absolutely outrageous, and the prosecutor, whose name I forget there, the prosecutor, you know, just kept going and going and going.
Ronnie Earl.
Tom DeLay. And finally, I guess what, just retired or whatnot, was not held accountable. And thank goodness, Tom DeLay was finally vindicated in the courts of appeal there. But the man lost his job. His reputation was ruined for a period of time there. He lost tremendous income, I'm sure. And as Ray Donovan, the former labor secretary, said years ago, tell me, where do I go to get my reputation back? It's just outrageous that these people can do these things and get away with them. And I'm just tired of letting Obama get away with what he's doing.
Well, that's what's scary. I mean, there's been Republican leadership that does corrupt stuff and political persecutions, but it's so rare compared to the Democrats. And, I mean, they can indict a ham sandwich with all these, you know, I mean, they have one county here, you know, Austin, where I live, that they launch attacks all over the place. Bloomberg used New York to launch all these frivolous attacks while they are just wallowing in corruption with Solyndra and Benghazi and Fast and Furious. And then I see this attorney general going around indicting Republicans for having dirt under their fingernails and really questionable stuff. And I mean, it's just insane. It makes me scared. At a fundamental level, they could set me up. I'm totally clean. But who knows what they could make up? I mean, you really see the dirty tricks. That's why I then admire someone like you, who I know they see as a threat, on the air saying what no one else is willing to say because they're scared. And because they know, wow, if they can indict people for getting loans because they were talking about endorsing a supplement company, I mean, they can do anything. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Well, listen, we need to get you into Congress. The website, we'll put it up on screen for folks, barcongress.com. We need to get him in there, and we need to get other people that have shown their fighters. But listen, this is the guy that brought the impeachment. This is the guy that did, and I was just thinking back now on, and no one's going to sit there in the controlled media and go, look what Bob Barr did. Bob Barr has courage. And I didn't mean to turn this interview into a big endorsement, but I just started, you know, having that epiphany, wow, this is really a good card to play. So, Congressman, I'm going to say Congressman because we're going to pray and hope you get in there, and it looks like you can, but we don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched. Any other points you'd like to add on other issues in the country and things you like to do when you get into Congress?
Oh, gee, there's so many things I'd like to do with Obamacare and the Federal Reserve and so forth, but we'll have plenty of time to talk about those. I do hope people will not only go to the website, as you mentioned, Bar Congress, but also friend us on Facebook. I mean, that's an important way to get the message out and to show people that that they support what I'm trying to do and what I'm talking about and what you're talking about to friend us on Facebook as well.
All right. Well, Congressman Bob Barr, thank you so much for the time and look forward to talking to you throughout the campaign.
Thank you so much for having me once again on your show, Alex. You take care and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, there goes Congressman, former Congressman, soon to be Congressman again, Bob Barr, just lately launching his new campaign, and very exciting. And again, I was very tired today. I have allergies. Everybody knows that. And then I just got energized because it was like clicking. I'm like, I'm talking to Bob Barr, who fought the NSA, fought the FBI on Carnivore, fought the omnibus crime bills, fought all the gun bills, beat a bunch of them, and started the impeachment of Bill Clinton with David Shippers and all the rest of them. It's just like, it's weird to be talking to these historical figures, and no one in the mainstream media is going to tell you. I mean, listen, the Clintons murder people, okay? Okay? And I was talking to him off air, and he was talking about impeachment and kind of breathing in when he said it because, I mean, let me tell you something. You got to have big huevos to actually be well-spoken and threatening to the establishment and have a really good, clean background like Bob Barr and then go up against him. Because they're scared of people like Bob Barr, folks. They're scared of Ted Cruz. They're scared of Rand Paul. These are warriors, ladies and gentlemen, who are in danger and who are being attacked. And I hope you realize I don't want your thanks because I'm in a fight here with you. We're bailing the water together. But you need to know, too, that I am under attack and that just all sorts of stuff going on. And it's par for the course. I expect it, and I quite frankly don't like it, but that's what it is. Because I know that comes with the territory. And, you know, I try on so many fronts to really be a upstanding good person. It's hard to be a good person. It's hard to make the right decisions. But my heart's in the right place. And I know your heart's in the right place. And, man, it just clicked when I got Bob Barr. Because I said last week, hey, get Bob Barr on. I want Bob Barr on about the NSA. And then it just clicked. Oh, he's just now announcing for Congress. Wow, this is perfect. Wow. What will he be like when he's in there? Because here's the deal. He couldn't really go after him on a lot of stuff he did in the past because he had no support. People are looking for leadership. That's what I'm telling you, folks. You have to be leaders in your area. And listen, if there were Democrats out there fighting tyranny, I would have them on the show and I would endorse them. Who's the congressman from Florida? I'm having a brain fart, as they call him. Excuse my French. the old English insult. Everything bad's. Excuse my French. It's ridiculous. I love the French, folks. I'm Alsatian. My mom's side of the family is mainly German. There's a lot of Germans came into the U.S. and Texas, obviously, but there's old English in there, too. Greshams and a bunch of other stuff. But I've got like double German Alsatian back there, too. Most of my German ancestors come from Alsatia. That's the real name of a German shepherd, too, is an Alsatian. But anyways, I guess if I was anything, I am English and Alsatian. But not a lot of other stuff. No offense to the French is what I'm saying. But it's German French. But expanding on all of this, in the final equation, we have to really just gut up and make the decision about what we're going to do. I mean, and I know I keep restating the obvious. I'm going to go to your phone calls. It's just that I admire people because of their courage. And now I understand how the world works better. As you get older, more of the knowledge comes with the wisdom, and then you understand multi-layer what's going on. And you realize people like Bob Barr and others understand there's nothing to sell out to. There's no boss hog in the sky, you know, in the government that we can just sell out to and they'll still be nice to us and pat us on the head and everything will be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. You can't sell out to this. There's nothing to sell out to. Sell out to poverty in a collapsing country run by a bunch of control freaks that want to hurt people and make them poor? I mean, it's a no-brainer. They want to divide everybody. They want to screw everybody up. They want to break up families. They want to poison everybody. The New World Order can go straight to Hades. I mean, this is not, that's what's so frustrating. There's not even a question here, people. All their debates are fake. All their moral high ground stuff's fake. It's all crud, and you know it. You know it's all lies. systematic, pure lies practiced to break your will and to condition you to accept fraud. And I'm not accepting it anymore. I want to survive. I want to thrive. I want to have a future. It's real simple. Are you better off now under the New World Order than you were before? You like where we're going. You like the smell of things, and you know you don't. Don't let your eyes and your heart and your nose and your taste and your touch and your senses get in the way, huh? Just believe the fraud. Let's go to Jay in Wisconsin. Thanks for holding. I appreciate it. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. First time caller. It's actually Jay Mitch. I'm calling to let you know they've put the surveillance cameras up that you were talking about a few weeks ago. They're literally up in my neighborhood, like peering into my backyard, and there are no businesses around. And then they're all over the freeways and the highways, and they're all over the main streets here.
They're also in streetlights all over Austin. They run the streetlights off of cable, off of internet. And then they've got, a lot of them have microphones and cameras in them, and it's just not even a news item. So just looking at your house, and they got caught in Seattle and everywhere else turning the cameras around, looking in people's houses. Well, of course, that's what they're doing. And they're using our money and super cheap technology to build a total grid of literal imperial probe droids everywhere, tracking everything we do. I mean, that's what those are. Those are robots with face scanning and voice analysis and all this AI crap, where the conversation gets interesting. It goes bing, 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 bing. They go, let's see what's going on there. The guy's like, I ought to beat the hell out of that guy at work. Or don't, you know. I mean, they just know everything you're doing. It's so criminal. But the answer is, oh, we're the good guys, so it's okay. No, it's totally illegal. Go ahead.
Yeah, and one other quick thing I want to say. The people here, I've been letting a lot of people know about your show, and I'm actually able to make a few T-shirts and things myself, and so I've been making a few shirts endorsing your show. And you know, it's a lot of people, young people here that are in my community that have woken up and are aware of the things that are going on. And I did want to say that I had a dream a few years back about all of this. I actually write music for ASCAP, and I wrote a song about this. And so I shot it over to your Facebook page as a link if you want to check it out.
Real Alex Jones or the main?
It's Real Alex Jones, and I shot it into the
email. What's the name of the song?
It's called Flee the North. It's about fleeing North America.
All right, Flee the North. All right, we'll check it out. All right, folks, stay with us.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
If they stop eating GMO, they can.
I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Think about how domesticated we've become.
Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do.
Yeah, the old boys are all dead that I know. They could do anything.
We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
They were weird. Those old boys, their wives liked them and admired their man and their family. They were on teams.
Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women, old boys, raised on shotgun.
And that's why they're the Pentagon's number one enemy.
We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't.
That's where the Pentagon gets its soldiers, is the country boys.
Came from the West Virginia coal mines,
and while at the same time preparing war against them.
And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
country folks can survive.
And why is that? Because you can't starve them out? You can't make them run?
I had a good friend.
See, it's all about starving you out.
He never called me by my name.
It's about breaking you. The communists don't want to give you, like the Grapes of Wrath, some great, wonderful place where FDR meets you at the end of this Pilgrim's Progress. At the end of it, they put you in a FEMA camp. They put you in a Foxconn factory. That's what they do. That's who they are. They're scum slave masters. And anybody that wants to break up families, anybody that wants to demonize men and women is an enemy. These people are our enemy, and the sooner you figure that out, the sooner we're going to turn this around. And I'm talking to new listeners out there. You try to warn people, they get all slack-jawed and give you a bunch of trouble about this. You tell them, shut up. This country's in trouble. What's wrong with you not seeing what's going on? What's your problem? It's people like you out there that think everything's a joke that are going to wreck this nation. You know how much danger we're in as evil takes over? I said I'd go to calls, but I started listening to that song, and it's just all there. They can't starve us out, and they can't make us run. Because these people are raised with shotguns, to paraphrase the quote. They want the guns. They don't want you to have to know how to feed yourself. They don't want you to be wild, indigenous, strong. They want you on a reservation, a plantation. They want you dependent. They want you enslaved. They want you dumbed down. This hour and this show was brought to you by MyPatriotSupply.com. We should thank our sponsors, /Alex. You can find the specials, and it's non-GMO, super high quality. We only carry the best at the best prices, and that's why this is our sponsor. And if I ever find somebody better than them, I won't have them as a sponsor. Point is, this is really good, high-quality stuff, and they've got the best survival items as well, because that's what it's about. That's just one thing we do militarily to be prepared with food. So MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex. Please don't forget InfoWarsLife.com. Be prepared with a survival shield, nascent iodine, the fluoride shield that supercharges all of that and detoxifies the body. They can be taken together. Check with your physician. I take them together. And then you've also got the Super Male Vitality. You've got the InfoWars branded dash cams, the high-quality coffee that we have. We just fund our operation through free association selling you high-quality products. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. Felix and others, I'm coming to you. Thanks for holding.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I've really need to go to your calls. Felix in Michigan, thanks for holding. Tell us what's going on with FEMA, our loving friends.
Hey, Alex, just curious to know if you've seen anything in regards to FEMA is looking to hire some housing inspectors.
It's Agenda 21, and they do it to get into your house, and they do it to acclimate you to the next spy force. This is a first contact approximation. The people doing it don't even know. And it's a Pentagon blueprint from a 1962 takeover model for third world countries. But, yes, it's a first contact federal inspector program.
Absolutely. And
you understand when you domesticate an animal, you first just are in their presence, then you feed them, then you capture little ones and raise them. That's what they're doing with the CPS. So it's a domestication process.
Exactly. I think the foster care agents do the same thing as well. But in this particular job posting, it says they're looking for these inspectors and such for a presidentially declared disaster. And they're looking for them nationwide, and they want to get their training done in the next 90 days. I was curious to know if you think that might be in connection with what seems to be an
expedition. Yeah, listen. They always can have real programs that they – all these agencies do real functions. They just piggyback all the evil stuff like Russian dolls inside of it. So there could be legitimate disasters FEMA deals with. The problem is that then it's used for COG and does have a mission for taking over government and coordinating it. So anything that could reestablish government could overwrite government, and that is that's the reason FEMA should be defunded and removed, and the federal government should coordinate with the states, not to have a FEMA force that comes in and bureaucratically shuts everything down. And all the studies show they screw everything up, and that responses are much worse now. and their unification of police codes and all of it is just a total takeover.
Absolutely. And, it, you know, the interesting thing is they are deeper and further in, talking about enemy territories, if you will. One of the things that first woke me up is I was looking into Agenda 21, and it was the wildlife-urban interface something or other. And I was looking at that, and it said, I was looking at the symbol, and I noticed that I recognized it. And I was in the property management field, and I turned around, and right on my desk was the manual, the International Property Management Handbook.
No, absolutely. That's what it is. Send me a copy. It's all Agenda 21. Absolutely. Anything else?
I just wanted to get your take. We see that I looked on the NASA website. There's some lunar eclipses coming. They call it a tetrad. It looks like we've had some in history, three of them to be exact, a series of lunar and solar eclipses. And each time those have happened, there is some sort of biblical significance with the Jewish people. And we have one beginning to start on April of this year, continuing into next year.
Yeah, because the Sabbath is really, in the ancient Hebrew, is really the full moon, or is it right after the full moon? The whole point is that, yeah, I know it's Friday night and stuff now, but I'm talking about in the ancient times. It had to do with moon cycles and stuff. And that was why, like, you have to keep the Sabbath. Well, back then it was like it was even complex to even. But the point is, I've not researched that in years, so I don't want to give out bad info. The point is that the elites across the board launch wars every time Mars is close to the Earth, and then they admit that. I mean, these are, you think the Romans were 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago. I guess they fell 1,600 years ago. But the point is, completely fell. The point is that we genetically and humans go right back to, the customs just go on mommy, daddy, down the line. So it's like the Romans are 5 minutes ago. And they would launch wars dealing with Mars. That's how this works. And so the elites all believe in this stuff. I don't care if they're Jewish or what they are. It's all basically the same stuff. It's all Babylon mystery school. Because the whole Zoroaster and just all those movements. And if you go into the Jewish books, the Zohar and the modern Talmuds and all this, it's just a bunch of Babylonian stuff. We'll be back. I'm keep going.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
When you're exhausted, like I've been today, with allergies and not enough sleep, what you do is you broadcast longer than you normally do. Greg in Utah wants to talk about the armored vehicles and rocket launchers and grenade launchers that the police are getting from the feds as they train to take on Hank Williams Jr., basically. I mean, that's literally who they train to attack. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's the main Pentagon directive, and that's who they say the main enemy is Hank Williams Jr. wearing a John Deere hat. Because they don't think Hank Williams Jr. is going to let them take their kids to the collectivization farm. And Hank Williams Jr., you know, doesn't want his kids being taught about sex at age 5. And Hank Williams Jr. Likes guns, and Hank Williams Jr. Stomps around as a man. And the globalists want to stomp on us. They don't want men stomping around. I mean, they don't, they put estrogen in the printer ink and in the food and the water and everything because they don't want men. You understand that. So that's why they're doing that. Because if you're a bank robber or you come in a house, you're going to rob people. Who do you subdue first? A man. You want to get him subdued, conk him on the head, get him tied up so you can, rob the house. And then usually criminals go, you know what, let's just rape the wife and kill the kids, you know, because that's what criminals do. And so that's the mentality of the people running us. And they've got the men handcuffed up against the wall with duct tape around their mouths right now. But still, they know there's men out there with guns they haven't gotten to destroy yet. And so they just want to make sure they get everything geared up first so they can take their time gutting this country. Greg in Utah, go ahead.
Alex, I was just listening, to Bob Barr. That got me thinking, too, of another subject besides what I saw the other day. And that is the fact that right here in this county, just because we're out in the country and most of the business is farming and there's a power plant here, but Numerous times our blasted sheriff said he was not a constitutional sheriff. He didn't believe he got his power from the Constitution. That's dangerous. That means he'll take orders from, and not use the Constitution as his rule of law.
Oh, no, that's it. You know, they've gone from saying the Constitution's bad and old and all this stuff to saying just get rid of it to being belligerent. Judges, you name it, like declare. It's like how you declare you're in the New World Order. Is, you know, you have articles in the Boston Globe about, is the Declaration of Independence terrorist? Should we get rid of it? You know, they just declare their outrageousness to get us used to it. And, you know, people have like the image of Ford or Chevy and the guy urinating on it. That's basically what this is. They're letting you know, we're going to run over you. We've got the moral authority. We're going to eat you. That's what they do. They take your labor. They take your money. They take your house. They take your kids. It's a form of eating us. It's cannibalism. They like the Soylent Green. Agenda 21 is the Soylent Green model. Go ahead.
Yeah, just because, you know, he's a member, you know, in the leadership of the local church means absolutely nothing.
Oh, no, it's always because like that. They're always the heads of the church. They're all because they have the moral authority. You understand? That's why they can do whatever they want, because they are at the mega church and they've got the cult at the mega church doing that. Exactly.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. If this vehicle I took a picture of Sunday, that had Utah license plates on it, showed up at your door, they were there to get your guns. You, unless you had an army of citizens surrounding you, it's over for you. Either that or you're going to commit suicide. I mean, it's that ridiculous.
Well, but see, I mean, here's the deal. Everybody looks at this from a one-dimensional or two-dimensional warfare model. Obviously, when gun confiscations start, you have a bug-out position that's on public land. It doesn't matter where anywhere. Special Forces, Total Resistance Tactics. You can buy a Total Resistance book, from different resistance in Europe. There's a lot of them, and I've read a lot of them. It's very interesting, good reading. But, I mean, I don't want to get into tactics here with people, but listen, you don't wait for the armored vehicle. Those guys go to bars. Those guys go to church. Those guys live places. And they're not always going to be jacketed in a war wagon, okay? So, they go around and start wiping people out and killing folks. I mean, believe me. The military veterans, that's why that's the one enemy the globalists are targeting and tracking, are not going to sit there in their houses. You understand that. And the police better stand down and the military better stand down when this kicks off. Now, of course, they're going to stage horrible massacres or provocations to blame on us to have moral authority up front.
You know, the Patriot group bombed a daycare center where the police keep their children. Look at the dead baby. Anyone fighting back against the gun confiscation is part of the such and such massacre of the 14 children. And look, the other ones who had their eyes blown out. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous, okay?
So you have to understand that, but it doesn't matter. The resolve is everyone's going to know it's staged anyways. The people that count, they're not looking for trouble. But once the Civil War starts, which I'm trying to avert, I mean, they plan to use us to cull the police and military. That's their secondary enemy. We're the first enemy. They're the secondary enemy. This is fourth and fifth dimensional warfare. They're going to have us kill each other, and then they're going to roll in with the next phase, okay? And people need to understand how this works.
Yeah, I was just hoping, you know, looking at that vehicle and looking at the tires, which made a Humvee tire look like a Volkswagen tire. I you know, this thing was meant to go off-road. I was just hoping and praying that maybe that was some prepper had bought that.
No. The Homeland Security is deploying the latest anti-mine vehicles, IED vehicles. They're deploying a fifth branch of the military. It's called Homeland Treason. This is it, folks. I mean, and they got the cops all strutting around ready for war and whatever. I'm just going to stay out of it. So I'm just, I can't believe it. All right, send us the photo. Why don't you send it to showtips@infowars.com. Just type in local police departments get armored vehicles. And it's been all over the news. You can see that. Thank you, Greg. Let's talk to James in West Virginia. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. How you doing today?
I'm pretty tired, but we have a good broadcast. Talked about a lot of important stuff.
Thank you for all your effort. I know you don't like all the compliments and stuff. I got a couple real quick points for you. One, you're spot on this dehumanization stuff. You know, I mean, it's almost like one of my favorite shows that I used to watch, Star Trek Generation, the Borg. I mean, it's one evil central thought process, one evil central agenda, and their thought process is either you assimilate or they kill you. And I choose not to be assimilated, and I choose not to die for my family, my friends here, my local community. And
that's right. We're being forced into this conflict.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The second point, and this is why I've made about 1,500 calls in the last week and a half to get on your show, Alex, is back in October, early November, you had talked about the FEMA Region 3 false flag coming up, and it's happening here in West Virginia, sir. I mean, please don't forget about us. I mean, that's my plea today, is this whole contamination with this chemical in our water systems. We are going through the FEMA Region 3 false flag that you spoke of several months ago. We have one of the tiniest airports available, and it's got a little National Guard airport that runs beside it. Sir, I could count daily 60, 80, hundreds and hundreds of chemtrail flights that come out of I wouldn't think that they could even have that many airplanes up. I don't know where they're coming from. But West Virginia is, in fact, under a total assault on our health and humanity here. So, you know, if you got time and have some of your people look into some of this stuff and follow up on that, you predicted it. I just don't want you to forget about us, because we are under an attack right now with our water supplies. You know, industry has always been in the pocket of government in this state.
No, we knew they were running around like flies on you know what in that area, gearing up for stuff the last year and just doing a lot of bizarre psyops. And again, they're also testing the military to see how they respond to all the weirdness. God knows what they're doing. I mean, tens of thousands of people killed in just a couple different secret government programs that have been declassified. And you got the U.S. code where they say for any law enforcement or research purpose, they can kill people. But you can't put down in a U.S. code a law that you can kill whoever you want. These people are nuts. They're mad scientists. And I shudder to think of what they're up to that we don't know of. I mean, that's the thing. As much as we know, we know very little about what these nuts are doing. God bless you. And yeah, the big chemical spill thing is a big issue. Man, I'm tired. Let's talk to Jay in Texas. Go ahead.
Hey, God bless you, Alex.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, man. There's this article from Before It's News. It says Obama serves. I have two articles. Obama serves 14 state governors with warnings of arrest. And why it's not front page news. It was May 7th, 2013 by Ken Larvey. It says Barack Obama has served 14 state governors in the United States with national security letters warning of the governor's actions in attempting to form state defense forces needed to be halted immediately or they will face arrest for the crime of treason, the employment of the NSL.
Yeah, but what is the source from that? Because that's a very disreputable website. Some of the stuff's real on there. Some of it's like Sasha, whatever his name is. Who's that internet guy that always puts up the disinfo for years? I mean, there's just so many of these people. And I'm not trying to fight with a side or something. It's just that, they just do ridiculous stuff on there. I know they have been threatening states and stuff not to have their, but I'll look into that. I remember seeing that before. I mean, what's the source from that? Or is it the only source?
There was another guy, Dr. Lyle Rapp.
No, but I mean, what's the source? They just say that? I mean,
it says Before It's News.
No, I know. They say they're the source. It is a source of really good entertainment. But it's just, you know, and again, I don't even know about that particular report. It's like the Onion or something. But I appreciate you. I'll look into it. You know, the problem is you got all this real federalization going on and states being threatened like Texas. You know, that will blockade your aircraft if you try to, like, not let the TSA fondle your genitals. That happened and got no attention. And then, meanwhile, if you remember a few weeks ago when that came out, I looked into it and I was like, where's the source? But I can't poo-poo that because I haven't looked at it again. I can just tell you that you get these open source sites where people can write whatever they want. And, I mean, I've seen stuff on sites where Alex Jones died today. People all start calling. I'm like, no, I'm not dead. Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I'm sorry. I'm out of time, folks. God bless you all.